Hello, everyone, and welcome to State of the Realm. Yeah, we still planned on doing the podcast, but just like the downtime in 14, we had our own downtime. We're going to just make shows out of nothing for you guys. We want to make sure we had some stuff to talk about. And today, we have probably the hottest topic in Final Fantasy 14 for the past 3 weeks that we're finally going to be covering. We're going to be talking about Yoshi P's recent comments about oversimplifying Final Fantasy 14 and talk about how we can unsimplify it within reason. Some of y'all are nuts, all right? We'll go into some crazy stuff, too, but might as well. Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Happy, and of course, joining me is Sly, who's back from his vacation last week. How is Nolens?
It wasn't a vacation. It felt like it, but it was. Can I just skip out on the show and just go back to New Orleans? Can I just do that?
Sure.
Yeah. You sure?
Yeah.
You two got it?
Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. Yeah, and by the way, you got way quieter from pre-show into post-show. I just want you to know.
I don't know how.
I'm done trying to figure out your XLR. I can't. I'm just I'm so done. It's fine. I'll make the adjustments.
I didn't touch anything.
I know, but it's different. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right. And he said, man, both of y'all, you're fine. I hope you had a good time. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. And like he said both of y'all, because of course we got to come back with a guest. So we'll take someone who's got a bit of little bit of Final Fantasy 11 brain rot, because you know he wants to unsimplify Final Fantasy 14 to its maximum or minimum. We've got Arthur's on the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that my cue? Hey, yo, guys, what up, man? What up? It's nice to finally be on the show. Thank you. Thank you, Happy, for inviting me again. Always an honor. Always sees you reaching out. It's like, yes, I need to be on it. I have to be on it. Yo, nice to be here again.
Yeah,
what's
3 a.m. for you,
Sly?
Too.
What's up, everyone? Oh, timing is not a problem. Nah.
How?
Huh?
I mean, how is 3 a.m.? I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, wait, we, as content, okay, for me, I'm just waking up, attend to my kids, eat breakfast, eat whatever meal I wake up to, and then stream, and then, I don't think timing matters, at least for me. Does it matter to you guys?
Yeah.
the only time I'm doing 3 a.m. something is if it's like a big game. Like, Shin Megami Tensei is probably the only reason why I'm getting out of bed after 12 a.m.
Yeah.
Happy, I mean, is probably Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm in bed by 10:30 p.m. and then awake at 5:30 a.m. So.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's early.
Yeah.
I like sleeping in. I like sleeping at 5 a.m. actually, and then wake up just for lunch. You know? Yeah.
I don't know. That's, I haven't done that in 10 years.
Nope.
No. That's college apps. That was staying up until it was breakfast at McDonald's, and then eating breakfast from McDonald's, and then going to sleep. That's what that was.
It might be an age thing, you know? Because once you transit to a certain age, you start to realize that, man, can't stick to the schedule anymore, gotta leave as much as I can, play as much whenever I can, sleep only when I really need to, like, min-max the timing, you know? Can't be locked into a schedule. Maybe that's fine. Yeah.
All y'all Raiders want to min-max fucking everything. What the fuck is wrong with y'all, man?
Listen, I min-max my schedule. That's fine. Before we get to talking about Final Fantasy 14, on the YouTube side of things, we're going to play an ad. This State of the Realm is sponsored by Final Fantasy 7 Ever Crisis. So thank you to Square Enix for sponsoring. I'll let the ad do all the explaining. It's going to be edited in on the YouTube side. So here, just for my sake, let's go to the ad now. And then I'll edit it right there and it'll be perfect. And I'll be, thank you again to Final Fantasy. I got to pretend like it didn't happen. Yeah, it's fine. Thanks to them for sponsoring. Appreciate it. It's smooth, all right?
You still play the game?
Yeah, I pop in every now and again. I don't have the time that I used to have when it first came out, where I was just... They have like 9 times stamina spends now, too. So like you could just spend 9 times at once, and it's just like, oh, yeah. Now it takes like 2 seconds to get everything done. Just throw in the back on Steam. It's perfect. All right.
Yeah, it only recently get on Steam for me. I had to play from emulator, VPN. It was a nightmare. But finally, now it's on Steam.
Yeah.
Game is so much better on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually enjoy myself now playing that game. Yeah.
Yeah. So Final Fantasy 14 is now officially in the gearing up phase. They kind of let Seven Rebirth dominate the last several months of Square Enix's time and marketing. So it's been really quiet in Final Fantasy 14. I know how you've been handling it, Sly, and I know how I've been handling it, and that it's not playing much. But Arthur's, I still see playing it quite frequently. So how has the downtime been for you as somebody who puts a lot of time into 14 still for the most part?
To be honest, I didn't play a lot. Especially the last 2 months, I didn't play much. I would say maybe I only streamed 2 to 3 days out of 7. And whenever I do things, I at most do maybe 1 PM. Spend just most of the time talking. Obviously, following up with the news, watching the broadcast. So, yeah, like today, I think that P12 that I was doing before I attend the show, that was actually the only content I did the last 7 hours. Yeah, so actually not really talking. I actually spent the first 3 hours we were talking about Ultimate, like kind of a heated discussion. So, yeah, no, just mainly keeping touch with the community. Just like, you know me, right? I love to play single player games sometimes, but when I sometimes play this type of game, I usually do it offline. So on stream, I always want to make sure that I like to play games that I like to interact with. Because sometimes when I play single player games, I don't know how you guys do it sometimes, especially Sly, when I watch him play some of those like Super Robot War games, right? And then he's like able to talk about it. I'm like, I can't. When I play even Final Fantasy VII Remake, when I was playing it, I'm just very engrossed in like reading everything. And sometimes when I read, I don't even say it out loud. But you guys are also like narrating to it. I'm like, I can't. I don't know why. I just like to just chill, sit down there and read, and then, you know, just click through. So for me, when I'm offline, I play those games. And then when I'm offline, it's more like gaming plus interacting. So Final Fantasy 14 somehow, an MMORPG, World of Warcraft, somehow fits that perfectly. So I wouldn't really say playing, more like mingering. Yeah, probably more like mingering.
All right, that's fine. And definitely putting more time than we are into it, at the very least the category.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Yeah,
definitely a bare minimum. You said you were having a heated discussion about Ultimate. Now I don't even feel like I should ask. Okay, give me a TLDR because it might be relevant to the topic.
Okay, TLDR. Oh God, you really want me to do your YouTube comment is going to be. Oh God.
As long as it's not offensive to any group of people, I think it'll be fine.
Okay, I don't think it's offensive to any group of people. Let me put it this way. It started off with, if I see Yoshi P the next time, what should I ask? So now we are already, you know, all the keynote are all done already. Right? It doesn't make sense if I ask anything, you know, 7.0 related. They are not going to go back, suddenly put things together, right? So I'm more thinking of the line of, let's just say in the future, 8.0. So obviously one of the things suddenly popped out is auto marker. So, you know how... You know, I don't want to say that I'm a rightageous prick or something, but Yoshi P put out a statement, right? He doesn't want to see people use third party, even though we know people do that, but it's fine. But he doesn't want to see it so blandly that he feels like I need to take action, right? So when we talk about auto marker, it's always like, you people are posting it in PM. You guys can use it. I don't care. Nobody cares. But don't put it out loud. Don't say it out loud. Because what if somebody sees it and report it? We don't want Ultimate to be taken away from us, you know?
I was making fun of PFs because you know what the PFs say now? They say, I have it. We have it. Yeah. It used to be like melons or anime melons. Music or out. Now it's, do you have it? I have it. Can we have it?
You see, that is so obvious to us,
it's
right?
So
at
obvious.
Some point, yeah. At some point, the dev team, if they even care, or even Yoshi P himself, if he ever sees it, he's going to start asking questions. So, I'm not like trying to take it away from people. I just want to like curiously one day ask Yoshi P, yo, Yoshi P, do you know about auto marker? And then maybe he will be like, oh, what is it? And then I explain it to him. And then is he going to be like, whoa? Am I going to be like, whoa? Is going to be like, whoa, Arthur's, what the fuck? So I'm like, I am not trying to say that if you use auto marker, you don't deserve it or anything. I just think that auto marker is a problem. It's just getting out of hand. So then, you know, Twitch chat is coming in like, oh, but if we don't use it, then we can't.
How will we do PF? Like,
that's not the discussion. The discussion is auto market is just kind of borderline borderline cheating now, and we are just so open about it. I feel like we shouldn't. And that, yeah, that's just us. The whole ultimate, is it right to use? Can I use? Should I use? What if I use? And then we just go 3 hours talking about. But no one is targeted. I'm not saying that people who use it are bad or anything. No, ultimate is obviously more than that, right? It's just,
yeah.
This is some things that we preferably not being too transparent, you know?
Well, we already know what's going to happen. Like, probably like 8 months down the line, the original person, whoever they found to originally implement auto markers, is going to get sacrificed for their sins, and then we're going to get into the game anyway. So,
which is fine. You see, like, that is the question I want to ask Yoshi P. Is this okay? Because auto marking ground was not. That's why they took it away. So if he knows about this auto marker, how does he think? Is it okay? Or is he going to like take it away and we cannot mark people in combat anymore? Then in the case, it's just an L for all of us raiders, right? Because it's such a responsive dynamic tool that we can use in fights, right? So it's like, if people would automate it, and then it becomes out of hand, which it is super out of hand. Now my wife is doing UCOB, and then my wife is like,
God,
telling me,
yeah. UCOB?
Yeah.
Why?
And she's like, yeah.
For people... what?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to explain to you, right? My wife turned around and looked at me like, yeah, they are using auto marker for thunder. I'm like, yeah, it's super notoriously overused right now. Now it reached the point, okay, back then it's good to have it for top. Now is, hey, if we already got top, we might as well use it for everything. It's super notorious now. It is a matter of time it catches wind. It is a matter of time. And what's going to happen? Because I don't want Yoshi P to get pissed off, right? Because when he said, if he found out that the community is overusing tools, that they are trying so hard to implement visualization in game that you can do without, and people are notoriously using it, he's going to remove or stop. What is the point of making ultimate? What is the point of making all this mechanic? And I believe him, because even if it's a 1% chance of it being taken away from me, from us, ultimate is important, man. Like, I just don't want to see it just gone, you know, like that, you know?
Do you think so? So funnily enough, the topic of the show is about oversimplifying Final Fantasy XIV. Do you think they've do you think they've overcomplicated ultimates on the reverse side to the point where people feel that necessary? Because obviously the big point is Omega. And I don't mean top, I mean Omega Trio specifically, where people go like, you know, two people are always going to have to be with on the one side, and the other six need to be in. One has this debuff and one has that debuff, and they have to hop to these two people because they can't hop to the people that have three. Like, all that immediately comes into the factor for it. Do you think that it's a result of that being something that was too far for people who wanted to play the game in PF, thus the result of it now, yeah, I guess, kind of cascading?
I mean, I think Ultimate came a very long way, right? If you think back, UCOP UT was not pluggable at all. 100% it was not doable. It is only until DSR, I think the interest spike in Ultimate because of DSR. Right? Maybe it's because a lot of WoW players coming in, maybe it's because, you know,
Endwalker DSR itself, was just,
yeah. And DSR is just so well done. Right? So I think a lot of people start doing it. And I think, and we all witnessed, people have done it without auto markers. Auto marker wasn't a thing, and everybody was able to do it, and then backtrack to do UCOP Wu, right? So I think the fight itself is just accessible over time, right? Whether it's job adjustment or whether it's pass expansion, I just think it's, and the stress, and then players getting better. I just think over time, it takes care of itself, you know? And the community is doing such a good job at welcoming and eventually get ultimate done. It's just suddenly top came out and then this thing just goes all over. In a way, I don't want to say fool. I don't want to blame the players for doing it, because at the end of the day, we human beings is always going to find the easiest way to do something, right? Especially, you know, people in PUBG, PF, they obviously don't have the time that some of us can put in. So, and their agenda is simple. Get it done any way possible. Their agenda is not, let's clear it fast. Let's clear it blind. Let's learn it properly. Some of these people are just, I just want to get it done. I just want to clear. And the fight is designed this way. I think it's actually an interesting mechanic that they focus a lot in top priority system, looking at party list priority system. Now, we actually have this type of mechanic for the longest time already, even like Digititus. who and who clear what debuff, who and who
why do you have to go to Digititus? Why?
Right?
Why do you have to take me to Digititus specifically?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of priority system, right?
Yeah, it sure was.
Over the years, right, I think we have been tested priority, and I think I myself included, I'm the weakest at priority, and I think a lot of people also feel the same. So this time they like double, triple, quadruple down, focusing on priority, and I think the player base suddenly realized that shit, it's actually a hard mechanic. Hey, but wait, we can auto mark. We can completely take that away. So I think this is what happened. And I think the developers are also trying very hard. You notice how they put... That was the patch they implemented debuff timer on Party Leash, right?
Yeah.
And then that is also... Not only that, they also put in the Roman numbers. So it's like not only we can see the debuff timer to know who is next, we also can see the Roman number to see who is next. It's like, although Yoshi P says that I don't want people to use add-on, but you clearly designed a fight that you yourself knew that we have to add in more visual cue, we have to add in more hints, we have to put in more like buffs icon for you to see. So it's like, that means that you are making a fight that clearly visualizing, making things easier to know your priority has become the standard of the fight. So it's not a surprise that player went this far, you know, but at some point, mechanics is going to run out, and I think we really reached that point already. You know, I think, what else can they do? Like, I mean, we although we always ask that question, and they always surprise us, especially like UCOP, first time, and then we go into DSR, like, dude, everybody think that, DSR can't be that hard. And then after DSR, it's like, come on, we are all better, groups are better, top can't be at the heart. So they continue to be able to surprise us. But at what point is the cutoff? So Yoshi P came up and say, you know, at some point it becomes too stagnant really, you know. Like, I was quite surprised as a producer for him to come out to actually say, and that surprises me. I come back home, sometimes I feel like playing the game and I want to fall asleep. I'm like, that's exactly what all of us, Depla, Zeno, a lot of Llama Todd, I mean, I'm pretty sure you yourself at some point also feels the same, right? We have been talking about that, and then the player base was like, you guys are just burnout. You guys are just burnout. For me, it's fine. For me, it's fine. So for the developer to suddenly come out and say that, dude, the game has been getting stale. I mean, TLDR, what he meant, the game has become stale. We need to spice it up. So I do feel like it's interesting that even as a producer and a gamer himself, he's able to come out and admit and say this. It feels so vindicated to all of us, you know, and very interested to see how going into 7.0, what is the spice up they're going to do? Yeah.
Happy, when you were reading the article.
Yes.
I felt like you were dancing around the fact that, like, okay, Yoshi P is not trying to say that it's like a casual thing. I'm like, is he or is he not? Like, you danced around it so much. When you were trying to read that article, it wasn't even funny. I feel like
it was funny.
Part
actually.
Of it is
it was sad, almost.
I feel like part of it is, though. I mean, when you're talking about things like this, when we're talking about oversimplifying stuff, undersimplifying stuff, that's part of it. And
part of it.
And Arthas brings up a good point. Like, there are some ultimates you absolutely fucking cannot PF. I don't want to PF anything with y'all. Fuck y'all. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust any of y'all.
What makes you think that was funny? You know what's funny? PTSD? In ultimate PF? Yeah, what was the fight? No, it's not even the fight. It's literally just trying to prog Savage in PF. Like,
yeah, I remember.
Any Savage.
No.
Just no.
No. So, I mean, it's I honestly think it's a bit of, you know, bringing back to what it I guess used to be. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy 14 has evolved. Like, we can go back and say, like, looking back from Savage's where we are now to like Coil back in the day, like, shit used to be really simple. Shit used to be so goddamn simple. And now we're doing now we're doing shit like we're doing in P12 and
top and DSR and everything. Yeah.
You know what, though? I think that's on purpose, though, Sly, because here's the big thing. In A Realm Reborn and Heavensward, if you look back, we were just shit at the game more than anything because people thought, no, I mean this, like, people thought Thordon Extreme was hard. He's a fucking joke. He was not that, he was not really hard at all. But you know what was hard? Your fucking rotation, because there was like 8 billion more buttons than there. There's actually, it's not that much, but how much you were actively pressing at any given time is different. Now we don't have nearly as anything complicated, so the fights went the other way. So we have stuff like top and DSR, which was, they've kind of spoken about that as being their goal. That's what I mean. Like, it's not as simple as just one being the other. Because if we got Heavensward's rotations in DSR, you'd all quit the game if you were doing ultimate. I promise you would all hate your lives.
You know, the China producer and Yoshi P actually have a meeting after the JP FanFest, and he actually was talking about it on Bilibili. So he and Yoshi P agree, right? Final Fantasy 14, right? Three things are concurrent together. Number one, your job. How to play your job, number one. Number two, difficulty of the content. And then number three... Wait, what was the third one? Job, how the job play, the rotation, and the duty that you are doing. All these three are together. You cannot just say because this is easy and therefore that is easy. No, this is easy because combining easy rotation and an easy fight, zero mess, then it's completely too easy. But if you are talking about easy rotation, if you consider what we have now is easy, and then DSR on launch, TOP on launch, that is difficult. The rotation is not the main question here, right? It's all three together is what? How are they gonna move forward 7.0? How are they gonna spice up the content and then spice up the rotation and how fun the content is? All these three are together. So they are looking at doing all these three. And then within those three, the job, it is impossible to achieve challenge, fun, and identity. It is impossible. You can only maybe take two out of three, any two of the three. You can balance two out of three and make them fun. It can be fun and challenging, but you will lose identity. It cannot be have identity and fun and still maintain challenge. It just doesn't work that way. So this is a challenge that they are facing right now. So, but I do agree, like, if we have Heavensward, rotation in DSR, it's over, man. We are talking about maybe 2 more days. Yeah, just for DPS check. Yeah.
I mean,
wait until you have to do Super Chain 5 with like your 8.0 rotation, and you got to do your 2 minutes and Super Chain 5, and it's going on so good.
I like that we've now already jumped to what I'm assuming is Pandemonium Ultimate.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're all the trios pretty there much. Are just going to be Super Chains. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's all it is. And you gotta do, and you're doing it with your 2 minutes, which still exists, by the way. It's never going away.
And I'll be honest, part of the I think that's probably been the biggest topic. So you talked about the three aspects of fun, challenging, and identity, which I completely agree with, because two out of three of those categories make fun. Like, Summoner is fun and identity, but it's not challenging, which means you can get bored easily, which means may not be fun. But some people may not enjoy a challenge, so suddenly it's a great job for them. But that's what it means to have different jobs.
Let me throw you a random number there. Sorry to interrupt. You want to know, in China, when they did survey across tens and thousands of people, everybody thinks Summoner is the least challenging, least fun, and least identity. And then out of the three caster, Summoner is being played 75% of the time. Black Mage 13%, Red Mage surprisingly only 12%. And then their discussion was, okay, this number has shown that Summoner is clearly not great. And I think the dev team in the meeting is like, don't worry, it will be better in 7.0. But then they look at the number and they're like, but it's being the most played. So, you know, even as developer, they are like, wait, but people love it. That's why people play it the most. But you guys also say that it's the least interesting, least challenging, and least identity. So how are they gonna do it properly? And then on the flip side, Black Mage is the most challenging, most fun, and the most identity, and it's got the lowest pick rate. And then Yoshi P is
because people like to turn their brains off.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the people who would answer a survey and the people who play the easiest jobs, there's so little overlap there. It's like it's like when people say, oh, on the forums, everyone's having a fire about topic A or topic B. It's like, no, the people on the forums are having a fire about topic A or topic B. Most people don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. But I will say that even if people don't find Summoner fun, challenging or whatever, if it comes down to, I need to prog this fight and I need it to be as painless as possible, they'll play it anyway. They don't care.
Yeah.
Like, you know how many red mage mains who are just like, I'll swap to summoner now. I guess it's easier. We can just optimize. I don't have to think about it. Just press the button. Move on with my life. We don't need all the reses. I get it. All right. But if you try to swap to black mage, your team's like, don't do that. Listen, I don't care if you were pink on it last tier. You're not playing it. It's like, come on, man. I just want to have fun.
What about you? What about Big No Man's Love? Would you think, it's so nice to hear you say that. I say that, people shit on me so much. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, every job is happy. Would you take Big No Man's Love in your pro group?
I don't know. I don't know how it's balanced yet. How can
it doesn't have a race. Let's just say you can only bring one caster.
Yeah, I don't care if it doesn't have okay, but here's the thing. I'm of the opinion people way overplay double melee as it is, and that double caster should be more frequent, in which case I want one of them to be a black mage. In this case, I want them to be a black mage or a pictomancer. If it's going to be a raceless slot and a raised slot. If it's one, honestly, with the way that the last tier of Pandemonium went, I don't really give a shit. This whole tier made me not care about raising, and neither does top or DSR. It's like, what am I raising in DSR? Isn't the idiot who got the fucking damage down? That's it. Like, I don't need to care about that guy anyway. And then you know what? It was probably the fucking. It was probably the caster. So now they can't even res themselves. I'm just saying. I've just grown to not care. If the fight design keeps falling in line like it has the last three patches, then having a raise is like, you need that for 24 mans more than you need it for anything else. That'll be that's the most depressing place when you see seven black mages and Orbone and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, like ultimately Unforce definitely lesser and lesser use already. Yeah. But 1, 2, 3 obviously you still need it, yeah. But I guess, those Picto can should obviously be able to swap to summoner image, yeah.
So I don't really care. Just play, if you don't die, then we don't need the res, so just don't fuck up. Simple. Because half the time you use the res, you just get like 6 people alive and a mechanic that targets 8 people, and then you don't actually know what to do anyway.
What was the one savage that it was one savage run that had like 100 reses or some bullshit like that?
Oh, that's ultimate. One? That's Death Cop.
That's Yukop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which has now also been cleared with only one Neuralink and with Enraging the final phase. I love you, Cobb. Don't worry, I'm sure they'll raise the Yoshi P?
Would you ever ask Yoshi P if you have the opportunity? I guess this also falls in line with today's show, right? Oversimplifying things, right? I guess that also consider that the fight has been oversimplified. Now, I don't think it's because they intentionally oversimplified it. It's just that it's been kept like that. They close a blind eye and they're like, let it take care of itself. Although the job is still level 70, we downscale it, potency increase, yada yada. But do you think that it reached the point that I think there needs to be an alarm bell like Yoshi P? Look, your ultimate, even though it's UCOP, 100 over death, now with the key, you can kill with Enrage. Do you think it's time to let him be known that?
Here's what I would do.
Because you, yeah.
I hold two hands out to him and I say, and one hand is letting me do it on Blue Mage and the other hand is making it level 100.
Unreal.
I want you to pick one, but you have to pick one.
Yeah, nice. You should ask him that if you get a chance. I want you to ask him that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know where the weapons are for the old job still, because we've been told that a handful of times as well, so.
Like, how hard is it, right? Like, you see, Gunbreaker weapon from T came from a level 79 dungeon. Just throw in some T glow, done. Can't you just take a random weapon and put it in, the old ultimates, Yeah, that's also an interesting question that I think he needs to be reminded of, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't even think that its ultimate's been oversimplified so much as we've just outscaled it to such a, like, literally the very next expansion in that of Shadowbringers, we started having skills with like 1,000 potency. And Endwalker, some of them got toned down, but I mean, that doesn't change that lower level skill potencies went way up overall. So it's, that really hurt you, Cobb. It's pretty intense. Even T, like T just skipping half of the first phase and like the murder that happens in the second. Like average groups don't experience these things, but they happen and they happen frequently enough. So that's definitely something to factor. And it's even funnier because the jobs are so simple with the potencies up. So getting the number is even like way easier than it would have been in their respective expansions, except for T, where it's, you know, Shadowbringers potencies are already buffed to heck. And with dolls, we don't need any more potency with the dolls. We're fine on that front. I don't want to one shot a doll on Black Mage ever again. It was a bad experience.
Wait, you can't?
I did with a Xenoglossy direct crit. Yeah.
Full health?
Yeah, full health. I've never regretted pressing a button more than that exact moment. I was like, oh, just Xenogloss. I Xenoglossy it all the time, and I almost never... And then I did it, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, everyone.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. It's because pot's still left over from the opener, is the reason. You still have a pot by that point. Cool. But it's not just with raids and everything. I think a lot of people have kind of honed in on two-minute meta fight design when looking at this statement. Now, it's weird because fight design, we already mentioned earlier, has kind of gone in the other direction. It's all much clearer, but the things they ask us to do now versus the things they ask us to do way back when are whether or not you want to admit it as a raider, more complicated. Like, if we got Caloric in Heavensward, it'd be a very different life. If we got any of the stuff in P12 back in Heavensward, even with how notorious Heavensward was, it would, like, keep in mind, one of the hardest things in Gordius was Hand of Pain. Like, people struggled with Hand of Pain.
You mean, like, mechanically, or you mean, like, the fact that the hand has to be so far away?
Both, you know? Actually. You're starting to robot a little bit, by the way, Arthur, just so you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Just letting you know, yeah.
Perhaps you say this, but how many times has limit cut been used in like the past?
Don't talk to me about limit cut. It's been like it's been used 7 times in the last like 2 patches.
Right. So design has evolved yet stagnated a little bit. It's like they don't know what else to put in fights.
Yeah. I mean, fight identity is where that's supposed to kind of win. I think almost every fight you can identify something that's unique, even if you could boil it down to a basic element, like P10 has, Harrowing Hell. It's just the dude bashing his face against the wall a billion times, but they have the web in the back. So the web in the back is just lining up a few AoEs, but it's an identity to that fight. And then in 9, you have, you know, the soccer mechanic, which is a limit cut mechanic. But everyone remembers it as the soccer mechanic, as the blitzball mechanic, whatever you prefer. And then 11 has the light and dark, and it's his voice line's probably the most memorable thing in that. Emmett Silk could do no bad every fucking time.
Yeah. I always make fun of that line, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if he's going to copy Thancred, we might as well make fun about all of his voice lines just like Thancred. Or Rancred. Thanjeet. Whatever. So yeah, it's people still want the jobs to be unsimplified more than anything else, it seems. Which is crazy, because can we not agree as people who have been around for a while and as raiders who have seen people talk about these jobs, and people at the high levels, not people like on the forums who like don't actually raid talking about it, people at the high levels producing feedback and getting exactly what they wanted, and that's how we got here.
It's a very weird feeling for sure. Like, 90 seconds is not great. 3 minutes is not great. We agree on that. But again, right, I think fight design has to do something with it. Because, I did not feel that 2 minutes was bad during Espadillos. Like, I felt like there were still things we could and we should play around. When do we 2 minutes during limit card? in P2S? Obviously no, right? You want, he's untargetable, right? You want to wait for him to finish the use. Okay, cool. Phoenix, do you want to use 2 minutes after the Tethers? You know, the Puddles and the Tethers? And then after that, obviously, Phoenix. Do you want to use it after Phoenix on cooldown? Or 1 minute after Phoenix during the Tether? And then in P2, do you want to use it immediately on cooldown on Fate, on Act 4? Because sometimes if a ninja get a Tether and you have to run across, you cannot 10 GG. Now, obviously, I think there's some things that you can min-max a big brain, sure. But when you're progging and stuff, it just feels so uncomfortable. So during that time, I actually felt like 2 minutes is not bad. Yeah, 2 minutes is fine. And then Abyssos, everything is just, you stand on cooldown. And then now, even in Anabasios, he's also standing on cooldown. And it's like, okay, so why do you do that? And then Ultimate is the same. Ultimate was the same. I kind of like the idea that Omega MF, at the end of Omega MF, you can choose to stand 2 minutes, and we usually do it during proc. Yay, you know? And then we lack DPS in P3. So it's like, at least there was something going on there, you know? But then, obviously, at the end of the day, it's like, nope, you just have to do it. You just have to do it this way. Everything has to be used here. Then it becomes very stagnant. It becomes very like, yawn, 2 minutes here, yawn, 2 minutes there. Whatever happened to, you know, now when I look back at my old proc video, right? You will actually see people like, okay, guys, hold your 1 minute, hold your 90 seconds, wait for the next 1 minute, wait for the next 3 minutes, everything on the 3 minute. It's like, kind of miss that, you know, but we kind of also ask for it, right? But we, even if we ask for it, we expect the middle. And I thought Anabasios was a good middle ground. Until today, it becomes boring. So, how are they gonna do it properly in the next expansion, you know? I think that is, I guess that is like every expansion biggest question, right? Is our job gonna be fun? Because, like it or not, I still think that Storm's Blood combat was the most balanced. Everybody, I think, had fun playing every job. A little bit miserable, sure, but fun. Sometimes miserable, sure, but fun, you know?
It's a lot of reassurance. Miserable, but fun. Miserable.
Yeah.
Do you think the fight designers get kind of forgot that we're all under the 2 minute meta? It's like everything. Like, it's like they forgot. Like, every mechanic falls under that 2 minutes. Like, we go away. Well,
see, but that's the only way I think you make 2 minutes interesting is to put stuff right on top of it. Like, is it frustrating? Yeah, but it's the only way any decision making happens, which I think is its own problem, that's the only way you achieve. Because, yeah, is it great to just throw my 2 minutes out when the boss is doing nothing because it's easy? Sure. But it's also literally the most boring way to handle jobs instead of, like, it's like when you're pressing the least buttons, you do all the other work. And then when you're pressing the most buttons, you do the least work. But when there's like a middle ground is when it's the most interesting. But I think that's when you go back to the 90 and threes, because back then, if something was too difficult to reliably do a buff window on, you pushed it back 30 seconds and that was it. Nobody really minded just waiting another 30 seconds because, assuming the fight was long enough, like you had to factor all of those bits in. And this is obviously only on the high end rating, which is not what the 2 minute meta was even made for in the first place, which is the ironic part. It wasn't made for us. It was made for the people who don't want to do the all general of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, it's a result of our feedback talking about how annoying it could be to do like 90s and threes. Like, oh, I have a 1 minute and a 2 minute and a 3 minute and a 4 minute and a 6 minute and an 8 minute. And it's like, that's annoying. Like I remember Battle Voice being 3 minutes. Everyone's like, oh, that's so annoying. Just make it 2. I remember people saying that. It happened. So it's our fault in a sense. But to your point, Sly, I think that's a compromise they either need to decide they want to make more of, is more stuff that makes us decide when twos are okay, or they need to bring back another buff window of some kind. I think the big kicking point was Trick no longer being party wide. I think not having a 1 minute to play around. I think the problem was only one job had it. Yeah. That was the big. Today I was playing Bard and I was like, I'm going to Apex during Trick. And then I went, wait.
Yeah. Good point. recently I also talked. Okay. I main raid Mage and Ninja and then now Reaper. Let me tell you. Reaper and Red Mage is a way more fun job with Trick Attack. How you squeeze in that extra, how you have that extra gauge that you want to dump somewhere, and then just, I mean, I'm not saying it's hard. oh, there's a debuff. Well, press your melee combo. But the thing is, like you said earlier, decision making. When you're playing as a DPS player, when you're progging, sometimes these are the little things that makes you feel like, oh, it's my time. It's my turn. It's my time. I need to do it. You know, now it's just gone. Which, you know, I agree if they can make you, even if it's a 10-second drift, and they make you like, okay, it is better that you drift this. You're not going to miss a waste. You're going to miss a waste. What the fuck am I talking about? You're not going to waste a use. Overall, the fight, you will still get X amount of 2 minutes. But now you have to wait 10 seconds. Like, this is so simple, right? This is just a simple communication, guys. Hold 10 seconds, right? Like back then, it was hold 30 seconds. Now it's just so simple, guys. Hold 10 seconds, right? But they also even take that away from me. And then, that also coupled with the hitbox changes. That also makes that tanks no longer have needs to worry about a boss. Is the boss really off-centered? The boss will correct himself most of the time, 90% of the time. So now it's like so many things being taken away, just completely make the 2 minutes. I want to say it, right? I don't mind the 2 minutes. Sure, I just now said Storm's Blood was the most fun, but I don't mind the 2 minutes. Like I said, in Espadillos, I didn't mind it. But now it just gotten to the point that everything combined. And that, okay, this one is my biggest complaint because this one is the most latest fight. And then you get zero merch. Like zero merch, right? Even though it's only an EX crowd, right? The fight design coupled with the 2 minute and the combat being so simple and the boss being just a gigantic hero. Like zero merch is the culmination of Endwalker. How the game, like Yoshi P said, has become stale to the point that you go back home, you play a video game that you shouldn't feel tired, but somehow you just doze off. Zero Mercy is the culmination of 10 years of Final Fantasy, and we are at the most stale. What is the English word he used? Mundane?
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know if he used that word, but that's a word, and that works here, yeah.
That's a synonym, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny when, you mentioned the hitbox and you mentioned tanks, all I could think of, oh, I'm going to go do E6 real quick.
E6, babe, hold up. Oh, God. Oh, damn, fun, dude. Eden Verse is goated, man, if you ask me.
Just Eden Verse is the most dynamic.
Yeah.
Is it? Would we really give it to Verse with the fucking tornado?
Okay, not him.
Okay, all Verse, but not them, not the birds. Yeah, I was gonna say that's a brave statement. Tanks, all tanks did was complain about E6, about conflagration.
We miss it though. We miss it. Yeah.
Thinking back. Oh, dude, I would love to throw Tomahawk 6 times. I'd love to shield lob or like have. Oh, actually, if you had the modern paladin kit back in when that came out, you'd probably be perfectly okay with that mechanic. Yeah. You'd be like, Confiteor during that? Hell yeah. Because if you wanted to Confiteor that in Shadowbringers, you had to like force yourself to Confiteor it. I don't think it was anywhere near where Confiteor normally is. Or confused.
You see, somebody in the chat is saying, right? I swear they never tested that fight in Kruger. How did you know that? I actually think it was all intentional. The only thing that the players couldn't accept is that they had to do 6 Tomahawks. But they didn't accept the fact that the developer already tested the DPS that you need for the fight is already inclusive of the X amount of Tomahawk that a player could have to use. Think about it. The DPS check was fine. It was perfect. Like in past, you struggle. But when you're doing your clear, reclear progging, the DPS check was very well tuned. Like Eden Verse, okay, maybe some would say that Shiva is a little bit too high. But overall, I really thought that entire Eden Verse, despite some of the downtime, especially downtime, that's what spawned Samurai with 10 different openers. You know, we have the cursed banana opener, stuff like that. I think a lot of jobs, you actually have to play every job very differently. Whether you're a tank, whether you're a DPS, I actually think that was so much fun. It's like, I think it's one of the most dynamic tier they ever done. And it's also the first time that team made Savage. So if you disregard the part of, man, my DPS, man, my rotation, man, my pass, but you actually think about it from a developer standpoint, that was brilliant. Eden Verse was very well designed, in my opinion.
Yeah, Eden sucked for Dragoon. Like, I'm sorry, like, parse-wise, it fucking sucked. Like, we cleared shit, but yeah, like, it sucked. I hated it.
I like how you talk about Dragoon. You know how, like, specifically that fight, you cannot jump? You jump, you die.
Yeah.
A lot of things, mm-hmm. you jump, you die. Fine, sure. Mm-hmm. They make changes. They make changes. They make it easier. Sure, sure, sure. And then TOP. First extra line. If your dragoon do your normal opener and you jump, you will die. Because it overlaps with when the extra flag comes out. What did they do? They change. I'm like, dude, like, that's the problem. Like, dude, that dragoon is an ultimate player. It's just one jump. Surely, if the dragoon can get to P6 on such a high level gameplay, such a difficulty content, surely you're gonna give it to the dragoon and say, hey, dragoon, your job, your jump, has been a danger button for the longest time. Surely you will be disciplined to not press it.
You know what else was a fucking dragon danger button for the longest time? Blood for blood. They got rid of that shit too. Yeah.
Like, I feel like these are the... Like, you see, if you keep the 2 minutes, and you keep all these trap doors in there, I think it's okay. But what did they do? They make jump better. Now, the jump is no longer a problem. I'm like, dude, like, as a dragoon, an iconic trapdoor just being removed. Like, don't get me wrong, the game to the dragoon obviously become better. But that's my problem with the game that is become today. This, even the one last stress that a job have, they still take it away. That's my problem. Like, in Savage, sure, like, you know, just now we were talking about, you know, they make the 2 minute not just really for, like, the end gamers. It's mainly for the general player. But we are talking about our ultimate. We are talking about a dragoon. We are talking about in P6. That one trap door, they also think that, oh, no, you know what? Let's not make the dragoon stress for the one last thing left remaining in their toolkit. Let's buff it. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's good change. But my point is, that right there is what happened to Final Fantasy XIV. It's what Yoshi P says. They remove every single possible risk at the moment that they can. And I think, and I mean, he himself has already come out to say, it's not about what I think and my take is wrong anymore. Like, your producer, the guy that you guys worship, you're the guy that you defend his honor, he's the guy that came out to say the game has become too stale. And that is just one of the lots of situations over the last 10 years that eventually this game become what it is today. So we do want to see this thing change, you know?
It's so funny that you mentioned the Dragoon jump, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Sly. So... Mm-hmm. I've already got my Dawn Trail static all set. So we're good to go. We're ready for Savage Ultimate. All agreed to it. Fantastic. In the trialing process, we do a lot of low item level old fights. So we're doing like low item level turn 8 Savage, for example. Or like, and that's where you stay level 90, but you equip garbage. So you can actually do it as if it was recent, but keep all your kit. Whoops is in the group and he's the Dragoon player. So when we get to a fight that has jump deaths, he very audibly states, can't jump here.
Good.
Like Titan, for example, E4S Titan, if you're not perfectly centered and you're like off a little bit, when you go to jump, you're going right off the edge. Leviathan was a big one as well with the middle platform when it's gone.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I remember that.
Dark Knight. Yeah. I bet you remember it now. Gunbreaker and Dark Knight. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all those, like, weird, like, gap closer. But that ends up just being a gap closer thing, not even a jump thing in particular, which is one of the few other trapdoors that you can still kind of find yourself in as holes in the ground. But for the most part, it's been taken away.
Stardiver would get you in trouble sometimes. Stardiver, like, you would not be able to, you would have the whole Stardiver because you were, like, some mechanics, you were on, like, the edge. You were right on the edge. And if you Stardiver, you were off. you were pretty much off.
And you see, this should be responsibility on us. This shouldn't be responsibility of the developers that, oh shit, let's take it away from them. Now, you take one, sure, you take two. When you take off everything, it becomes a problem. Because then you created a game that is just... if I were to be really harsh, you are kind of like insulting the player base as well. Sometimes a little bit like, okay, we take it away from you because still, you can't even have a discipline to not press a button. We're going to do that for you, little baby. I feel like at some point, it is a little bit insulting, right? And I think, a lot of people always say, I hate Yoshi P. Yoshi P is the reason why I play Final Fantasy XIV. My friend all told me to buy the game Alpha, Beta, whatever, right? I didn't want to play because Tanaka during that time was in charge and I was super into FF11 still, right? Only when Yoshi P came in and then he wasn't even have producer letter live yet. It was just on forum. He was just typing. It was just a forum post. And I'm like, okay, this guy seems to know what he's doing. Yeah? I mean, no harm. During that time, he was just VNM, Void Watcher NM, that period is very dry, right? So I'm like, okay, I'll check out Final Fantasy 14, you know? So, and then I was like, looking at the changes he did, the job that he changes, the GCD of GCD positionals. And then obviously the game is clunky. He introduced job. He introduced those fights. It was dynamic. I'm like, oh, holy shit, this guy know what he's doing. And then the Relic Quest, dude, the Relic Quest was, okay, again, including how clunky the game was, the Relic Quest is, I would consider, an achievement to do. That Relic Quest blows, the journey of getting a Relic in 1.0 blows everything that we have since around Reborn until today in 2.0 onwards. So it's like, that guy know what he was doing. It's the same development team. It's the same producer. So He always comes out during that time to say that he himself is an MMO player. He played Dark Age of Camelot. I'm like, okay, shit, I also play that game. He played MMO. He played a lot of games. He knows how to, he wants to make the game better. Put in faith in him. I'm like, you know what? I'm in for the long run. And then Storm's Blood. I'm not sure whether you remember this, Happy, but I clearly remember it because I couldn't find Source anymore. So whenever I say it and people ask me where is the Source, I couldn't find it. But I'm not sure whether you remember it. During Storm's Blood, Yoshi P said before, this is our second expansion, but this is also our like fifth year. Moving forward, I can foresee that in the next 10 years, on the next 10 year mark, I want to make Final Fantasy 14 become, we are gonna continue making changes to welcome players, but on the next 10 years mark, we want to make the game starting to become harder because we cannot bring in just new players. At some point, this game is gonna become like just for the loyal people, the people that sticks around. And then we have to accept that the transition had to become, the game needs to start getting challenging. You know, during that time, I was just like listening like, eh. And then when I saw UCorp, I was like, holy shit, this guy said it. This guy is already starting. And then ever since Storm's Blood until today, it's been like 5-6 years. And then now at PAX, he says it. It's like, this guy know what he's doing. This guy has done it before and this guy means it. So I'm not surprised that he is actually going to make changes. And Ultima still being such a holy grail in difficulty for endgame raiders. Like, dude, DSR and TOP just make me think that, dude, this guy is not fucking around. I really thought that we would not see an Ultima really raise the ante, you know, but fuck, this guy knows what he's doing. This guy is not holding back. There are some, Yoshi P could be trying to cater for some people, but this guy, if he really wants to, he's not holding back. So I believe him, you know, because I seen it. And then now, from Storm's Blood, that statement, until today, he's gonna up it again. And then I'm just like, yeah, bring it. You know, I don't know why people are surprised. And I'm so happy to see that. That's the Yoshi P. That's the Yoshi P. I even dive into Final Fantasy 14. And it's nice to see that I'm getting it. But did you remember he say that?
I recall saying, yeah, pretty much as soon as you started saying it, I recall that. It was something he said on a stage. I don't think it was at a panel or a keynote or something. He's said it on camera. Yeah, I know for certain. Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't documented. Yeah. It wasn't really documented.
Yeah. It's just in somewhere out one of those panels. I don't even think it was on like an announcement for anything. I think it was just like on like a Yoshi P walks or something. But I very vividly recall him saying that he wants to improve the MMO aspect. There's a few different translations of it is what I remember. It was Japanese only, whatever it was said. So it went through a few different unofficial translations probably. But yeah, he's repeated that sentiment a handful of times before. He's even frequently stated that the things he would want to do and the things that make sense to do are not the same.
Yes. One I remember. Yeah. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. Cause that was around the time he was also talking about how they were testing open world PvP servers, like privately inside of their development offices to see if it's something they could even just do like a limited thing on. And it was like, they've tried all that. They've tried a whole bunch of stuff they haven't probably told us about that just never made it past the cutting room floor. So he's just kind of making good on that. And that's kind of his big thing is wanting Dawn Trail to be an MMO. Now that the game's been single playered up all of Endwalker, they want to MMOify it again. A little bit in the
next
expansion.
People need to remember this is an MMO. Yeah. I think people forgot. People forgot about that. This is an MMO at the end of the day.
Limsa Lominsa definitely reminds me people didn't forget. I like the immediate disappointment from both of them. Like, oh, not Limsa. No, that's not who we're talking about here. That's not at all. What's interesting, though, is in the process of oversimplifying the jobs, and we are going to move to other aspects that aren't just job design, even though I think it is the hottest topic of oversimplification, it is far from the only topic of oversimplification. They've created a different problem in oversimplifying in that they're so simple, there's really only one correct way to go about doing things, and so they've become rigid. I'm reminded of that because I played Bard at the start of this expansion, and I've been playing it again in the last few days. And that is like the prime and premier example of a job that you have no options on. Like, you essentially have to go from A to B to C, and if at any point you fall off or any point you die or you don't take a boss downtime correctly, you are fucked for pretty much everything. So how did they manage to go from more complicated but more opportunities to oversimplified and no opportunities?
Gotta go? I don't know, man. I'm just...
Just sad thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Sly, you actually play a job that has had some degree of mastery with life. Life windows are probably like the one remaining thing on Dragoon where, because everything else that they've added to Dragoon just kind of fits in between what you're already doing with Life of the Dragon. So you don't even have to, like, I can press Wyrmwind Thrust every two combos now. Whoop-de-doo, right?
Yeah.
You can choose to save it also 5 GCDs for a burst window if it's coming up, if the timing works out. So like Dragoon actually kept some of the stuff that actually is flexible. So maybe you don't feel it the same way that some of us do.
But if you die, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is like when you talk about the boss situation and you put it the situation for the boss fight, right? For me, it's like, it's just such a disjoint or maybe it is just design philosophy. And clearly, you can tell that I'm going to assume, I don't expect one developer to do 21 jobs, right? Obviously, it's like there's a disjoint between like job design, because it like you see the bad gameplay like that, and then you suddenly look at Ninja. Ninja is perfect. Everything about Ninja is great. There's literally nothing wrong with Ninja. You want to pocket a Rhydon? Cool. You pocket a Rhydon, you get a range, and then you get to get closer. Awesome. The timing of the mark and the amount of buttons you press in between kind of naturally make you feel like sometimes you could get a Rhydon in, sometimes not. But you know what? It didn't matter. People wouldn't complain, oh man, you know, I put in a Rhydon, but I cannot finish a Raiju. No, every ninja accepted that. Well, it is what it is, right? And then your gauge, whether we get one more buff up before a phase or after a phase, it didn't change the whole dynamic of thing compared to, say, Dragoon, compared to, say, Bard, having all these resources ready to go, right? For us, ninja is like, we have it or not, it don't matter. Basically, nothing about ninja is wrong. You die, it's okay. As long as you don't die right on the 2 minutes mark, nothing happened. Right? Use your Furaijin, everything goes again. You know, so it's like, you got on the flip side, a developer that clearly know how to make a job to the content. And then you got some developer that is like, some of this clearly is missing. Gunbreaker. How can Gunbreaker add in a cartridge, but then the fight don't allow you to get full cartridge? Which is fine. It's okay. It's a Gunbreaker. You have a gun. You have bullet. Just reload. But no. Somehow that fundamental concept is not there. How? Your samurai got meditate. Your reaper got soul cell, which is also another problem. Why can't soul cell also gain gauge? Because that is the problem of downtime jobs with gauge in downtime. Gunbreaker, why can't you load the bullet? So it's like, I feel like the problem is just if you play properly, it works. But then when you got a little bit of disjoint or downtime or intermission, I feel like they just didn't... It's more like some of these developers maybe just didn't think about it, didn't get the memo. You know, Dark Knight. Hey, we want you to make a less Dark Art spam. Now you spam Age of Shadow. It's like...
Yeah, that one's kind of weird. I'll give you that. What I want to say, though, is do you think that is... A good or a bad thing? Because many would argue that one of the big things that's been lost over the years with the oversimplification is jobs feeling better or worse in specific scenarios. Now, there's still some of that, obviously. You'll see like Astro using Macrocosmos during Meteors and DSR or anything with the big phases, or yeah, I guess in that same vein, Dancer. Maybe there's like a line AoE situation where Bard has Apex, but there's situations, and then, you know, Dragoon, of course, with the line AoEs as well. That's like, there's like ways to optimize stuff like that. But would you say that the game has in a lot of ways lost that part where jobs can clearly be better in more scenarios more frequently? And is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Okay, it's a bad thing because it's just not fluent to play. Now, if you have all these bad things, but then you got something to counteract it, then it's fine. But again, I bring Ninja as an example. Sometimes you forgot to hold on, it's fine. The boss come up, Raijin, done. You see what I mean? So it's like, although we might lose something, but it's very easy to get back. You know, now, I mean, that's like you say, AoE, that's one of the reasons why some tanks have to finish specific phase with AoE. Now, is that a solution? No, right? But it's just an inconvenience. It's not natural. It doesn't feel fluent, right? So if it's considered a bad thing, it's good. It's okay. Like, you go in uncomfortably into a phase, into the next phase with nothing that you can, but you have downtime. So there needs to be some play in the downtime. Maybe, for example, dancer. Let's just say, I'm just throwing a random example here, right? It's a dancer. What is the identity of dancer? Dance. So in your downtime, what do you do to replenish the gauge? You dance. Gunbreaker.
It was funny. Like I said, it was so obvious.
Yeah. I mean, it's you obvious. Are a gunbreaker. You have a gun. Load a gun. I mean, fan crit in the Shadowbringer trailer. When he finished his bullet and he jumped to the wall, he got no uptime. He was reloading his gun. Why can't Gunbreaker just, while you're running, why can't you do that? You know, like, I'm just naming some really weird. Now, is that going to make engaging gameplay? No, but I just think that you can then design the fight and then leave the job as they are, missing a couple of GCD, but then you can just simply fix it by just making some identity and some fun mini game, right? Press a QTE, press 5 button, reload the bullet. You cannot press 5 button, you fail reloading the bullet drop on the ground. Just like,
oh my god, they're gonna give Dragoon a fucking
the Criterion Dungeon boss. Right, like there are some things, you know, like, I feel like they can do it.
Honestly, yeah. The only thing I'd ever want to see for a Gunbreaker minigame is the Gears of War perfect reload. If it's anything but that, get it away from me, please.
But yeah, going back to your examples, like, in terms of jobs, like, I think of Dragoon, and I think of, you know, missing a global, not bad. Missing a jump, bad. Like, and there are so many instances of mechanics where, like, I can't do anything. And then I feel like shit when everybody's like, we're going in 2 minutes. I'll be there in, like, 15 seconds.
Well, that's the problem with the two-minute meta is there's essentially, you're either there or you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I drift and so many other things, drift, dying, not being able to press buttons when you want to. Like, there's so many things that, like, I feel conflict.
Bad skill speed tiers. God.
That's another thing.
Bad skill speed tiers? Yeah, that's a whole nother one, man. When you go in on the wrong GCD and you're like, well, that's it. I know every button to press, but it's all ruined.
That is kind of like also, I mean, now that you talk about spell speed, it also comes down to gearing, and also gearing is also one of the topic of oversimplify, right? Right now it's like, everything is just the same. Do we really have two sets of gear? I mean, some classes do, but can we really not make with another ring? Can we really not make with another reward that we can get? Like, a lot of things are just, I think personally, very outdated. And this doesn't just mean difficulty, right? You know, like less stress, right? I mean, less stress also could mean, well, we don't want the player to do too much expert. Even if you don't rate 5 expert a day, an expert. Also, part of the less stress part, expert used to take 20-25 minutes. Now, 20-25 minutes is not long, right? Never reap, fractal. Oh, shit, I got fractal. Yes, 20 minutes. Oh, never reap. God damn it, 25, right? Back then, during Underpaw Keep, some people do 90 minutes of Underpaw Keep because they cannot kill... I mean, we are bad. Like you said earlier in the show, we were bad in the game. But that stress, right? Like now it's just like, expert is just 12. If you are bad, 15. Even worse, 20. It will never be impossible, right? And then that makes getting Tome so easy, which that means they're getting gear so easy, and then also the part that you don't even need to get all gear, just get the beast gear. And then it's like, oh, and also don't worry if you miss, you don't get a raid gear, you can buy Tome gear, and you only get shitty subset, but it didn't matter. All these things also contributes, not just difficulty of raising the fight, not making a job rotation harder, but also obtaining gear is also becoming stress-free, right? It almost become a point that it didn't felt like we care about gear anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Now this is like, do you really
the volume of gear, oh, not the gear itself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sly, you had your hand raised.
I have a question. What's an expert?
You know, he's got a good point there. I did one today and it felt really weird. So
what the fuck's an expert? I mean, I just fucking do, punch rings.
Rings, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty, that unreal for the week now, and like a couple other things, yeah.
Now, train is the only content till today I think is a good MMORPG type of element, because it also induces stress. Oh my god, I couldn't load into the zone. Oh my god, I couldn't get it. Oh my god, can I get a hit in? Now, I think the getting the hit in and the fight being too easy and die in the second, obviously that's a different problem, but the hunt train system felt like an MMO. It also make you feel like that's the FOMO. That's like, can I get there? Can I get a hit in? Will my party get full credit? Did I get the much tomes that I wanted from this hunt train? This hunt train gives me X amount of tomes. Oh, I only got X amount, minus 60. I should have done better. Like, it felt like an MMO, you know? Hunt train good. Yeah. I like hunt train.
Hunt train good.
So, see, like, the common theme I'm getting here from every topic we've talked about so far, y'all missed the danger. Like, in everything, y'all missed the fucking danger.
That's because like we're boomers.
Yeah, y'all sound like Shin Megami Tensei players. Y'all be welcome in fucking SMT. I swear to God, you can just... I don't know why... Happy, I don't know why you don't play any SMT. Fuck.
I literally got, for no reason the other day, recommended all of the Dante scenes from SMT3. I haven't even watched anything, although I've referenced it a bit, so maybe that's why. But yeah, that was just what popped up. No, it's not even about danger for me. I've kind of gotten over the whole things need to be dangerous thing, like when I played 11, because in 11 it was just, bro, it takes 30 minutes for me to walk across the zone. If I die, I'm logging off. Like, that's I'm and all you did was buy items to make it not dangerous in the first place. You're like, well, I don't want to deal with that, so I'm just gonna not be, they just won't find me. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to fight anything. I just want to walk by, get the fuck out of my way. But it's the sense of reward and accomplishment that I think more so, especially those of us who are from earlier generations of MMOs where that was a time-consuming endeavor. We're kind of married to the idea of a game being like a second spouse or a first for some people's case, where it's like I for you. Yeah, anyway. It's like we want to be able to put our time and energy into that thing more than most other things and feel like it was a good decision, I suppose, you know?
Yeah. See, there is a fine line, right? Between putting too much time and waste them, because like you said, dude, not everybody wants to go back home after work and travel across the Yutanga jungle. Right, 30 minutes across, right, to go to, say, Sea Serpent's Grotto, right? No, right? But at the same time, there are people that just want to spend time in the game and make it feel like it's worthwhile. So I feel like old school games, clearly, I'm not going to lie, now that, you know, we are more mature, we grow up, and then we think back, it's like, holy shit, that's a lot of time wasted. But did we have fun? Yes. But I do feel like we spend too much time, get that fun. Nowadays, we spend too little time and we never get the amount of fun. So it's like, I feel like let's just say we use 11 and 14 as an example. I feel like it's too wide difference of a spectrum really. I feel like there should be something in between, you know? Like, for example, okay, actually Eureka can be used as an example. Animals and Pagos, clearly, in a way you can say waste of time. Pagos and Hydatos, perfect. In a way, it's actually you put in effort and at the same time you get really good reward. You know, and then Zednor, and then Borgia is like, eh. And then DRS is like, okay. And then Zenor becomes waste of time. So I feel like they need to find the in-between because we are drifting away and away. Again, I bring back Zero Mercy. Zero Mercy is just they going way too like least amount of time and no fun, not time consuming and no reward. And it's part of a core content in the game that has been there for the last 10 years, you know, EX Trial. So I feel like that one, they went too far. Relic as well. I understand that Eureka might be too much. I understand that book grinding for some of us might be too much. But dude, 15,000 tomes, that is, they went to the wrong side of the spectrum already. You know, we are not talking about, oh shit, you know, give us like Eureka grind. Like again, Animals and Pagos is, I think personally, a little bit too much. But he expects something in between. And what did they give? Hildebrand and 1500. It's like, we should be finding the sweet spot, not deviate from it, you know? But so far, it's been deviating. But that's what they want to do, right? I mean, actually, what do you guys think about when Yoshi P says, we plan Endwalker to be a more soloable experience, and quote-unquote, or bracket, I think we did it. Do you guys think that is actually intentional, or do you guys actually think it's like, okay, let's simplify things, and I think we went overboard. But let's not admit that we went overboard. Let's just say that, oh, it was part of our plan because we want to make the single player experience better. Which side are you guys on?
They definitely intended. I think it's
okay.
I think it was definitely intended, but like for reasons. Again, I go back to the sports analogy of you have a really good season. You win a championship, and then like the next year you like kind of lose people. And you have what's called a rebuilding year.
Mm.
And Endwalker was the rebuilding expansion before that we're getting back to business. Before we get back to being an MMO. So they put out content. So they like we're going on this new journey. We're going on this like I guess new 10-year arc, whatnot. They had the plan for content, right? Some of this, a lot of the content couldn't be in Endwalker. What do you do? Shelve it for the next expansion. Shelve it for Dawn Trail. So what you get is this kind of lackluster expansion. I mean, you needed something. You needed a bridge between one of your best, if not your best expansions, and then the start of something new. And I think that's what Endwalker was. Endwalker was that bridge. You had to put out something. You had to have some kind of content because you need to have an expansion. You have an expansion, but you're getting ready for like a whole new, possibly decade of new content and new stuff to do. So what we get is a little bit lackluster. Like you said, it's like everybody wasn't gelling with it. And that's okay.
You know, this one thing actually was also discussed during the meeting Yoshi P and the China producer, right? Actually, all this concern, everything that we talk about so far, right? Actually, the development team, Yoshi P, they knows about it for a long time already. Like, they actually, in some point in 6.x, they already knew all this problem already. And then they were like, assuring like, you know, the feedback from the Chinese producer is like, okay, don't worry. We already knew this problem. We already got a lot of things planned. Ready, we cannot put them in 6.4, 6.5, it will be too late. And then at the same time, if they put it that late, aka going to the next expansion, they have to, you know, touch on it again. It's kind of like waste time. So they actually decided that a lot of things that they want to do, and I think one of them is definitely Dragoon and Astral Legion rework. They just pull out and then they are just like, okay, let's not make, you know, knee-jerk small changes. We take it all out and then we just make sure that Dawn Trail, every big change is going to be there. So when I hear that, I'm like, okay, you know what that reminds me of? Warlords of Draenor in World of Warcraft.
That's
they decided that it was just not worth the time anymore to invest more time into code Endwalker, and then for World of Warcraft, with all Warlords of Draenor, they just pull everything and make Legion. So that was the first thing I was thinking of. And I'm like, you know what? That's not so bad because we survived. At the end of the day, we are here 5.5, and then we are less than three months from early access. So technically speaking, we did survive. Now, Dawn Trail better really put out. And for the first time in 4 to 5 years, I'm actually for the first time really excited that I do think it's gonna put out. You know what? What do you think, Heavy? What do you think, Sly? What do you think?
I think promises are words.
Okay, they're coming from you. See, what happened to you? You, I thought you would be saying, fuck yeah, I already expect it. Oh my god.
Why did I become
the optimistic one?
We're not jaded, but it's...
Yeah. Promises are words, but it's like, when I look at what's actionable within reason in Final Fantasy XIV versus the kind of player I am, long time ago I came to the conclusion, you'll never make me completely satisfied. I'll always find a way to get through everything I want to get through really quick. And if that's a great experience, good. But I'm always going to have that time where it feels like the game couldn't keep up with me. It's just the bottom line. It doesn't matter what you do. Because I'm not the kind of person who wants to go and clear Ultimate 600 times. I'm not the kind of person who wants to sit there and farm out a billion like long-term achievements. Like, I can't create long-form content out of something like Cider does with his achievement hunting, or Xeno or you do with Ultimate. You'll never be able to keep up with my interest because I want new long-form experiences. It just won't happen. So when he says things like that, my experience with that kind of MMO is 11 at my youth. You'll never go to that point, nor do I want you to.
Okay. Heavy. Now that we both play a lot of FF11, this one is kind of a side topic. Do you think, right, after playing 11 and 14, right, do you think that to you, again, I 100% agree with you, dude, I do not want to play 11 again today. No way. There's no way I go back to my 22-year-old prime and do what I did. No way. But would you agree Final Fantasy XI, till today, it's still regarded, personally, as the best MMO you ever experienced?
I've gotten away from that experience because I realized what made me think it was the best was not the healthiest of aspects of the game. I always say the healthiest thing I ever did was stop playing 11 for a year, about 7 or 8 years in. Because I got to have a normal experience in everything else that I got to do. And I was like, man, what the fuck was I doing all that time?
I agree with you, but was I having fun?
Yeah, but like...
You know, the reason why for me and you, right, the difference is for me, it was all worth it. The only reason is because of my wife. If I did not play the game that much, I wouldn't have known my wife. I wouldn't be married to her 18 years today. That's why for me, 11 is that bar, right? Not just gameplay, but also what I actually got out from that game. I could say that, holy shit, man, that is just so much time wasted. But for me, the only justification is because, you know, I have a family from that game. So I don't think 14 will ever pass that. Oh, by the way, when I say that...
Better not. It'd be really fucking weird for you if 14 passed that at this point.
Oh, yeah. So, like, just now, although I say that I have high hopes for Endwalker, Dawn Trail, dude, I don't believe that we are going to get that much that we can sit here and play every day, like in the old days. And neither do we want that. I'm still going to be playing WoW on the side. I just hope that Dawn Trail have more reason for me to stay engaged before I have to find something else. In a perfect world, I do not want to find something else. In a perfect world, I just want to play one game. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I play MMO, because I just want to devote my time just for one game. But it is what it is. The last 10 years has been like that. But I just want Dawn Trail to have more content than... I'm sorry, let me rephrase. More replayable, engaging, multiplayer content compared to Endwalker. That's all I asked for. Yeah.
Yeah. And a big part of that has been oversimplifying the rewards as well, which they've already touched on. They said they want about 50% more rewards by the halfway point of Dawn Trail. So by 0.3 compared to 6.1 to 6.3, like by the same time frame. But more is not necessarily always better. And Final Fantasy XIV has run into an issue with its rewards that is in... It's a problem with the way...
I know what
you're going to say. Yeah, you know what I'm going to say, yeah. Stats and gear don't really leave a lot of opportunity to do much else other than more cosmetics, more just mounts, minions, eyeglasses. coming soon. Adventure plates, great addition. Frames for the adventure plates, solid. I know that when I clear ultimate, when I clear top and there was no frame in there immediately, I was pissed. I was like, what do you mean I gotta wait a whole nother patch before I get my Omega frame? Give it to me now! So.
You never let people catch up, you know? The FOMO, you know? It's only a plate, but, you know, they don't want people to feel FOMO, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so, stats were never complicated in 14, but they somehow made them simpler. And that never did us any favors. That's, I am of the camp they'll never go back on that. But, Do you think they should? Like, where's the thought and a feeling on stats?
I mean, again, this one actually kind of hit very close to what Yoshi P says, which, you know, when you talk about the gear, it kind of hits me a little bit. But again, because of what we experienced the last 10 years, it kind of like, nah. I do think they should start taking risk, and that also includes gearing. Now, what do I mean by that? 1.0, you play 1.0, Happy, you play 1.0. When we get our Relic, when you get your Katuna, you have Enhanced Spirit within trade. When you get your Dragon Spear, you get Enhanced Jump. When you get your Black Mage, I think it was increased Thunder Potency. I feel like it's been there, and it's the same producer. You could bring it back. Now, he already said as well, we might try new things, it might not work, and if it doesn't work, I'm totally prepared to come out to apologize. Something along the line. I'm not sure.
That literally at the PAX panel. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, I think you should take a risk. Change your gear. Change a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, in World of Warcraft, we call it borrowed power, right? Some item that will enhance something. Now, back then, he says that he don't want to do that because he feel like people will miss out if you don't have the item. But, dude, let's be honest. Have we ever get missed out on an item? I mean, we are all wearing the same item. None of us are missing out on any item on our main job. So if you put something like that, let's just say week one, somebody get it versus week eight, somebody get it before they get a beast. I feel like, you know, along the way is some fun, right? But obviously in numbers wise, I don't think it will change anything. But that is where maybe more risk comes in, where they do more variety. It might not need to be, say, a trait that changes an ability, potency or whatnot. But like even stats. You know what I mean? If I put in another gear with more diversity, like now we have, again, this is just an example. Now we have two stats. Every gear is high something, low something. Why can't we have three stats instead? Well, your rarity is already starting.
That's like every stat in the game is probably the reason.
Mm-hmm. But then add more stats, right? So if you do that, then you can add more stats, right? Make you feel that you need to make a choice. You know, like Black Mage has a choice. Warrior some sort, if you want to go for skill speed here, I mean, there's a choice. I mean, people are now even playing 2.5 Gunbreaker, I heard. So I actually kind of like that. You know, like, you know, people were playing Gunbreaker to squeeze 9 GCD into No Mercy, but now it's just like 2.5 and, you know, 8 GCD, they are happy with it. So it's like, now obviously this one is just like not much of a choice. I wouldn't really call that very dynamic, but I feel like gearing, they also need to take more risk as well. Item level. Why can't your 24 man drop raid gear? I mean, even if you don't dare to drop raid gear, why minus 10 item level? You literally can buy crafted, upgraded gear on the very same patch 24 man comes out. Why can't it be, instead of 650 now, maybe 655? You know, like, a lot of these things, it doesn't need to be an overhaul of a system, right? But if they want to do it, I think they already state out that they could, and they already preempt us that they might do it. But also, current system also can just use kind of like a little bit of overhaul, and hey, that kind of counts as more reward, right? If you think about it, now your 24 man weekly give you 6-6 old gear. If we talk about today eye level, that's great gear. That's more reward. That's 1.5 right there. That's 50% more gear right there, you know?
And thinking of stuff like outside of raid, go to things like, you know, Mount Rockon,
Criterion, yeah, things like Alo. That.
Criterion, yeah, yeah. If we're talking about stuff, if we're talking about things that are supposedly, quote unquote, difficulty wise on par with Savage, just make the stats on par with Savage.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there's literally nothing on, there's nothing there at all, so Right. Something and anything at all would be good. For me, I think that Final Fantasy XIV gear is at its best at probably one of the most ironic times. I am a huge disadvocate for content islands in most games. They create kind of a lack of direction, and I think the best example is Warframe. In terms of, oh, here's like 18 different content islands and none of them affect each other. And we're not going to tell you which one, so you'll figure it out on your own when you want to do any of them. But 14 is best on a content island because that's when they change the rules more than anything else. They take the thing that's the same everywhere else and they're just like, oh, we have extra actions and gear with, you know, haste or bonus stats here and whatnot. I think they've missed that mark as well with Criterion. I think if you're going to make content like that, it can very easily, even with Deep Dungeon, there's no reason why it couldn't just have item level outside of Deep Dungeon. And inside Deep Dungeon, it's like occasionally reveals the location of the accursed horde, like, you know, like the treasure hunter, like set enchantment bonuses. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something like that. Like there's no reason not to at the very least take that risk, because that's a low tier risk, because it doesn't affect Savage. It doesn't affect Ultimate. It's in a place where job balance is kind of irrelevant in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so at the very least, I want to see them take that risks. But at the core stat level, the whole crit direct hit problem has been a long time problem. It's just been a problem. Like crit was always a big deal. And it was always a problem. Then they made crit one, you know, 0.5. And added crit damage to crit hit rate. And it was like, well, why wouldn't I just want more of that? And that's where we got damage variation discussion. Like we've had so many things devolve from that. And it is because of oversimplification of the stats, and the stats weren't complicated in the first place. So that's a pretty interesting thing to have achieved. So that's where I'm kind of at. It's, you can keep things simple outside, but you still probably want to make adjustments to it. But take all of your risks inside of these content islands you're creating. Create crafter and gatherer gear and cosmic exploration that has some sort of unique factor with it. Because crafting and gathering, hilariously enough, has been oversimplified. And even though they've given you all these brand new tools that would have been a lot more useful when it was more complex. Like, yeah, there's master recipes, but all of the Endwalker changes, all I could think to myself is, man, that would have been fucking great. Like, that would have been great during Master Recipes in Ishgard.
Eureka was the perfect example, right? Haste, elemental bonus, was perfect. You know, it's exactly how you would want to, number one, get engaged in the content, and number two, have some sort of horizontal progression that doesn't affect anything outside. You know what I mean? And third, it actually meant something. There's a huge difference between having elemental gear and no elemental gear. It's like, but can you do it without? Sure. But should you get it? Yes. Is there a reason to get it? Yes. And you know what? It also makes you replay the content multiple times, multiple jobs. It was just so good. And then suddenly they removed that risk. I don't know why. Did anyone ever complain that in Eureka elemental bonus is so strong that if I don't get it, I miss out? No, right? And then Borgia? Nada. They just decided to put haste.
The haste DRS stuff, yeah. And it was only on the DRS stuff. They kept it off of it completely. So if you were doing duels with DRS stuff on, you were... I had a 1.6 GCD monk. I was ready to blast through everything.
And it's fun because it's supposed to be different. And it worked. So I don't know why... I mean, now we are talking about them going from elemental to haste in Borgia. It's like, oh my god, they take away some, and then in Endwalker, content is completely gone. Like, just straight up gone. That was my first question when I asked Yoshi P at EU FanFest. I was asking him, Mr. Yoshi P, where is the Borgia Eureka content? He answered me so fast that initially I doubted it, but I was quite surprised. He answered me so fast. Oh, don't worry, it's coming in 7.0, and I'm like, but it's not in the keynote. He said, oh, don't worry, it will be in the JP keynote, and I can't give you much information now, but it's coming. I was like, holy shit, that was the fastest answer I ever get. This guy already planned it already. So he's like, okay, cool. And then it really happened, and I was so happy, right? And then also including all the, you know, not sometimes when he just announced this type of stuff, it's not just the way he announced it, but also the way that he makes you feel that. That's the reason why. We look at the numbers. People loved it. That's why it's coming back. And then on the flip side, you got people on the forum that is like, oh, we don't need Eureka. Eureka is dog shit. You know? And then, dude, your producer just say that. You know, sometimes when he comes to say things like that, I feel like it's a slap in the face for those people that is like, no, we don't like it. Oh, no, we don't need it. And then it's like, we've been saying it. Poor Zepla pointed out all these problems. And Zepla got shit on by the community that, oh my god, Zepla changed. And then here we are, after the PAX, and now it's like, me and Zepla have a little bit of conversation behind the scene. It's like, dude, you should feel good. Everything that you say on your video, everything you feel about the game, is literally what Yoshi P said, echoed. You know, all of us feel so vindicated, you know. God bless, hopefully 7.0 is good. But like you said, he said additional reward. It could just be one more minion. It could just be one more mount. It could just be one more page. Is it going to change anything? I don't know. I wish he gave more information about that. I wish. Like, when he talked about 1.5 more, I wish he gave more information. Like, in what sense?
I know where they could get 50% more rewards from. I got the perfect thing.
Those ultimate weapons we were talking about earlier for the old ultimate.
Oh, I was thinking that you would say 2 tokens or something.
No, I mean, yeah, that too. I mean, they could just make 3 totems from extremes now with 21 jobs and everything. Yeah.
Since it's so random now, we don't know. He didn't clarify. Do you think that we can get ultimate mounts?
I actually don't.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a little bit too far, right?
I don't think it's too far is the thing, but
why not?
I think they'd rather mounts be in the tier of rewards, like the majority of mounts be in the mid to low time investment like area. Like, I think extreme mounts and like are like in the upper 90%. And I think like the rarest one, when they make something like the Pterodon, for example, that's their like, we're gonna do this like once in a while at best. And we don't want to put that in ultimate. We want to put that in something that anyone can do, but they're going to take forever fucking doing it. I really think they want to go that route with the hardest to obtain. Like, I'd say outside of that, what do you have for the other, like the Morbol would probably be the next on the list. That would be like the actual, like, harder to obtain. That's like as hard as doing a regular tier, I guess, but you know, it's with blue mages. I don't know.
Actual challenge.
Yeah, like,
mount, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 6 different raid fights, you know, which is a little different than doing a tier, but you have to do it on Blue Mage synced, so you can't just like unsync it and expansion later with all that. Yeah. So those are kind of like the out of the ballpark ones. I don't think they'll ever go as far as to like, if someone's riding around on a golden Bahamut mount, listen, I'll tell you what the real problem is with putting them in ultimate. And Arthur should know exactly what my answer is. He already fucking knows what the answer is.
Yep. I didn't think about that. You're right.
Yeah. I didn't even fucking get to explain anything. And he's like, I got it. That's it instantly. Yeah. It's like, wait, hold on.
All right. Where is it? All right. Perfect.
All right. Let's see here. which one do I want to put it on this time? The credit card. No. And I'll use the debit card this time. Yeah.
PayPal is fine too.
Yeah. The RMT is going to skyrocket
if they put it behind that.
Yeah, that alone. That's the thing. No one's RMTing the Pterodon. You technically could, but nobody's doing it. But that, oh man. I've been,
how much for a perfect Alexander Mount?
Bro, I've been denied from Static says I won't do that. Like, it's straight up already that much of a thing. So if you do that, oh no, that's it. It's donezo. And they're, cause here's the thing. They're already doing that with the clear. And they're like, yeah, but now they're going to tack on a cost for that. They're not just going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to include. No, they're going to be like, oh, well, we can just upsell them. Perfect. We were selling the title. We weren't selling that. Like, if you want that, you gotta, you know, that. Otherwise, we're gonna take it. We want it. Yes, fuck you. I need it for my ult. And then we get GDKP problems, and WoW players are like, welcome. Thank you. Here. Come on in. Oh my god. Yeah, that's why. I should have just said that right from the get go.
Yeah. That makes, yeah. 100. I totally forgot about that. Holy shit. Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, that's it. There's so many different results and so many ways that the oversimplification statement can be taken. And that's kind of been the problem with the discussion around it. We all kind of want to take it to its greatest extreme when, as a reminder, we were told it's not going to be like a sweeping change where all like tons of things are going to be drastically uprooted and all this. Like, 2-minute meta is going to exist. Maybe we get Trick and stuff back. Maybe there's like a couple of 60 seconds to come back. Maybe some 90. Because they even got rid of what? Leylines got moved to 2 minutes. It was 90 at the start of the expansion.
Yeah.
So it was like, although Yoshi P plays Black Mage, so he was probably like, yeah, this is shit. Never mind. We're going back.
Yeah. It's so bad for, like, Leylines is so bad for Anabasios. Really, really bad. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see a few of those pop up. But I think our current gameplay system is going to be identical. You're not going to find healers suddenly juggling three dots and like four DPS spells because healers have been complaining about it all this time. That's not going to happen. Cleric stance isn't coming back. I'm letting you know now.
It's like mainly things like when we talk about, okay, like if we just talk about, say, inducing more stress, aka making fights difficult, it's most likely we're going to see things like, okay, obviously new mechanics, obviously, and the new mechanics could be easier, harder, hitbox, and the hitbox could also mean, you know, tanks needs to play. I mean, he literally say that, right? You know, making us choose the strategy we use. And the first thing that actually came to my mind is Neuralink. Like, I think, like, you call Neuralink placement, where you put the boss, where a mechanic plays around that thing, on where you put the boss, like, that was really, really good. Like Twintania, one of the best thing about Twintania, and one of the most unique thing about Twintania is that Neuralink. Ever since first Koi, and ever since UCOP, the way people move around, how they work out, obviously, at the end of the day, it's just a triangle, whether it's inverted or not, it's the same, right? But it's, that is a thing that I do think is the type of direction they're going to do in terms of making things more difficult, you know? Maybe Dynamo Chariot wouldn't be a circle anymore. Maybe it would be a square. I don't know. Maybe it would be a triangle. I don't know.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's way too complicated, man. A chariot that's a square? I can't do that. No, that's too much, man. That's
yeah. But my point is, the example is probably along this line. It's not going to be drastic changes like, holy shit, you know? Instead of a 12-minute fight, and then we have like AoE into mechanic, AoE again. Now it's suddenly like mechanic. No, I don't think we will go that far. But
you know what it reminds me of? You know what this discussion right here reminds me of, Arthur's? Back in, I think it was Stormblood going into Shadowbringers, I saw a not insignificant number of people asking if the game's gameplay was going to be updated, and I asked them what they meant. And they said to be more like, I don't know, Blade and Soul or BDO. And I'm just like, are you fucking stupid?
No. No. There's no way. Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, when people, like, create, like, oh, they're doing gameplay updates. And they're like, I guess it's going to be an action MMO. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why? What's with the, like, I didn't know I was playing Super Mario. What's with the fucking leap? You clearly took the mushrooms, but I didn't know you could jump that high. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so this simplicity...
Was this around the time everybody was on Blade and Soul?
Yeah, that's why.
Like,
yeah,
everybody made the switch.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm going to ask you this question, right? Kind of like see whether I can have a peace of mind as well. Because in a way, it also could kind of tell me how you feel about how they're going to do things different. Could be more difficult. And then, is it going to go that far? Okay. I am going to the China Fan Fest on the 3rd.
Yeah.
I'm flying on the 2nd August. So this means, right, 30th we get Savage, 2nd I'm flying. So I got 30th, 31st, and 1st to do my Savage. Now, based on what we had in the last few Tier 1s...
You'll clear it.
Okay, you think it wouldn't go that
far? Not even a question.
Okay, really? I'm worried, man.
It's okay.
Am I too scared?
Yeah, you are.
You're worried about changes?
Okay, no. Without knowing the details of the changes, just like using like time as like a consensus, right? Our Savage Tier 1 has all been cleared. Wolfers has been clearing less than 20 hours. Everyone else, a couple of days. Hardcore Raiders. Every Hardcore Raiders, a couple of days. Now, this time, because I'm time constrained, I only got 3 days. Do you think that being the first tier, I will be safe this time? Because if you say no, then it's like an indicator that, holy shit, it's going to be harder. And it's going to be that one more day harder. Do you think...
Look at me, Arthur. You will clear on the 2nd day. At least.
Okay. If I don't, you're paying for my air ticket, man. I'm going
to... Well, I'll be done by then. I mean, definitely.
To be fair, we're not talking about an ultimate. If this were an ultimate,
if at this point, I just assume all ultimates are going to take 15 days. I huff the copium on DSR. Like, you know, T was like 5 days for the first group, like 8 days for the whatever it was. Like, I don't remember. It's like 3 days and 6 days or something. This one will probably be about that. And I think that's a good middle ground. Like, I don't think we need to have a 12-day UCOB prog again. And then DSR happened, and I was like...
Yeah, DSR have made all of us... Like, in my static alone, I'm pretty sure this is a standard for all statics now. I think Ultimate... Now, World First maybe have a different side of mentality, but I think for all of us else, even if it's just like the hardcore prog, I think 2 weeks... is the expectation. And I'm completely fine with that. I think 2 weeks is perfect. 12, 14 days, I think is perfect. What about Savage? Do you still... Now, you already given me the answer and you say that 2 days. Do you think that Savage should be still only a two-day affair? We got 7 days a week.
Thank you for clarifying how many days there are in a week for me. I had forgotten.
Yeah. Do you not think that Savage maybe should be... in some way, because you see, you touch on Ultima, right, Happy? You talk about T, and then the expectation is 7, but holy fuck, it ended up 12. So do you think Savage should also...
So here's the problem. There's two ways you go with raids. And I don't think Square goes either way with them. Like, I think, like, in terms of designing for time, you either design it to be clearable... in the gear you had going in, or not clearable in the gear you had going in. And that is the only differential that Savage will ever have. You cannot in any way outside of raising it to an ultimate level difficulty in terms of the mechanics, elongate a raid for Savage. Because the only other way you're going to do that, the only other way, yeah, I mean, if the mechanics are hard enough to take 2 or 3 days, sure, I think Final Omega, because of like weird translation issues with Hello World, took almost 3 days, I think. I remember being shocked. But
I mean,
that was it.
Anabasios also took a while, right? Abyssos also took a while, did it?
Abyssos definitely took
a
little
different
longer.
Problem.
Yeah, yeah.
A different problem.
And keep in mind, Abyssos took that time, and what happened? We got a like manifesto apology about a 1% HP difference.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. That took that long, and that was the result. That's crazy.
Okay, I should be safe then. Okay. Yeah. I should be safe. Thank you for the peace of mind. Yeah, okay, I should be safe then.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the second tier. The second tier is usually a bit longer than the first. The first is like a 14 to 16 hour endeavor for the world first team. I think our team was like 35th, and we finished it on noon of the second day, like with a whole day ahead of us for Asphodelos. And Asphodelos, I still think was the best tier, but it still was the shortest. So that's something. You'll be fine. Unless everything, like something catastrophical would have to go wrong, and it wouldn't even be about the game. It would have to be like somebody, like a raid member, literally cannot play.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about it. Dude, are you very worried about the graphical upgrade? Yeah, like, what if somehow something just breaks? Because those type of things just
then
collapse,
we have a month
man.
To worry about it.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I'm very afraid of the, you know, some of my chat is like, Arthas, I already took 2 weeks off to play Dawn Trail. I'm like, bro, no, you should be taking that 2 weeks after the month. You shouldn't be taking like just day off from day one and bad, you know, like, and let alone 2 weeks, you know what I mean? A day, sure, yeah. You know, you take 2 days at the launch and then you take another, say, 10 days when Savage comes out. Sure, taking 2 weeks straight for launch? Let's not do that.
I don't know why you would take 2 days for launch. Anyway. Like, just thinking about, I guess anyone who's willing to take that amount of time off for a game, you'd think they'd be smarter about when they take it off. Because it's like that Friday, sure, you should, in theory, depend. You could be like working as like a server at like a restaurant, so you don't have Saturday, Sunday. Like, you might have a job that falls in that category. But it's like, in theory, on a standard 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, you already have the weekend. And by the end of that weekend, if you are that kind of player, there's a good chance you already beat the story. What do you need the other 2 weeks for? Yeah. Like the rest of those 2 weeks?
Exactly, yeah. So hopefully that viewer was able to change his...
Now, I will say, if they took a week off for Elden Ring and said, fuck it, I'll take another week, I kind of get it.
Hmm.
It's like residual left, like, I got to use it. I got to use the time off. Because I want to be very clear. What, Sly?
I'm still getting shit how people are pushing shit out of Elden Ring's way.
They had to. That's a suicide to try to release on the same day as Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I don't know how Horizon even got to a PC version after releasing 3 days before Elden Ring. That blew my fucking mind. I was like, that franchise is crash and burn. First Breath of the Wild, then Elden Ring. They're done. They're just done. There's no chance. But they made it. Yeah, no, it's suicide. And let's be honest, Yoshi P is gonna stop and play Elden Ring. We already knew.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually predicted June 21st at one point. So when we found out when the Chinese Fan Festival was August 3rd, I looked at the pattern and I said, well, 6 weeks before that, it should be the expansion. And it was June 21st.
Really?
Yeah.
My Bilibili viewers all told me, oh, your artist is always 1 month. So that it's always on Savage release week that the Fan Fest happened. I'm like, well, fuck.
6 weeks.
Oh, really? Huh. They told me it was 1 month. Then I was like, shit. I was really hoping for mid-July, man. Now, it's been such a long time if you include COVID and then the patch extension. Yeah. I was really surprised that they were able to get it back together. Just within one expansion.
We'll be back in winter next time around. We won't be staying in summer release window. I sincerely doubt that. I want them to, but I sincerely doubt that. They would have to shorten the amount of time. I mean, don't get me wrong. If they do, it means the time between 0.5 and expansion launch is like 2 or 3 is actually like significantly lower. I would love that. I don't see it happening. But no.
Because of the extra weeks, right?
Yeah. Shadowbringers Chinese Fan Festival was August 17th, if memory serves. Launch was July 2nd. That's where I landed on the 6 weeks. So instead of just the 1 month. And yeah, but then I made that prediction before we knew about Shadow of the Erdtree. And then 2 days later, we found out about Shadow of the Erdtree. And I went back to the comments section. And it's a bunch of people like, edit, don't be June 21st. Don't be June 21st. Someone's like, oh, that would be perfect. Edit, never mind. It would be awful. I take it all back. So
Japanese company do that. Yeah, like they unlike Blizzard and World of Warcraft, if World of Warcraft could... World of Warcraft would literally put out expansion on Elden Ring's Day or put out expansion on Final Fantasy XIV.
They don't they don't have the goodwill to do that anymore.
Yeah. Back then they would actually do that. It's nice to see that, they staggered. Yeah. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Happy, did you have this problem when you play FF11? When Final Fantasy XII came out? During Treasures of Argon, did you have that dilemma? Fuck, do I play 12? Yeah. Or do I continue to grind my 11, I hated that.
No, because Treasures was the medium ground. It was, as you would describe it, our Stormblood, where you could... The game was kind of at its peak in Treasures. Like, people might say Chains, but it was really Treasures.
Treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you really didn't need to play as much in Treasures unless you were absolutely trying to do everything. Well, I mean, think about it. What you were going to do, assaults and salvage? Salvage was like an hour out of your day. And assaults, you either were, grinding points or whatever, but you still only did it.
Your chimeras!
You fucking perk a character there and check once an hour!
What about farming NMs? What about your Damascus Club, your King Atro, dude?
They spawn once every day or like every 3 days. You don't need to sit there for fucking 10 hours camping, though.
I didn't have enough time a day, man, playing FF11. I really didn't.
I did. I would just AFK at Cerberus and just turn the volume on my TV all the way up. And if it spawned, someone would ding me. And it'd be like 3 in the fucking morning. And it'd be like, okay, I guess I'm up now. All of a sudden, just imagine the danger bongos in 14, but it's that in 11 at 3 in the morning as your alarm clock? Yeah.
Sly,
you want to play 11?
Yeah.
You still got to finish Voracious Resurgence.
I never...
11 is the highlight of my life, really.
Ever want to do Treasures of Ottergon again. Never. Ever.
And he did it in Modern 11, too, yeah. He did it. He's like, don't you dare tell me to wait till tomorrow. They fucking tell me to wait till tomorrow. God damn it. I'm leaving. That's it.
Yeah.
I told you, 11 boomers, we're a different breed, man. And I don't even want to do that anymore, but it honed me.
Good! You shouldn't. No one should.
Look, man, we were young. MMOs was really addictive.
Well, I was young.
It's either you play 11 or you play WoW. None of those is gonna take it easy on you. Those two games is just...
Like how he just leaves out EverQuest, RuneScape. Man, you didn't play Silk Road. You mean you didn't play Silk Road Online? I did. Try like every other Korean.
Silk Road?
Yeah, I played Silk Road. Yeah. I played like every Korean MMO. I played Fliff, Hero, yeah. Granado, Spot, you name it. I fucking played it at least for a day or two, minimum.
Ragnarok.
Yeah. I had a girl, an ex, that tried to make me play MapleStory. That didn't last very long. Both are like,
why tried to get me to play MapleStory? Oh my god, and I'm like, nah, I don't have time for that. I need to play. I think I was playing Dark Age of Camelot, Star Wars Galaxy, and FF11, yeah. I might not be sitting here today. If not, my friend was playing Star Wars Galaxy, and then he was stupidly duping item. And then I was like, you're gonna get banned. Oh, don't worry about it. That's like classic forum Andy, right? Would say, oh, don't worry about it. They fucked up. Mabinogi, it's not my fault.
Yeah, Mabinogi. What's Mabinogi Heroes called in the States? Vindictus? That's what it's called in the States, right? I had a friend who was like, oh, you should sign up for this MMO. And I'm just like, it says, it won't let me. It's in Korean. And he's like, here, just follow these instructions. And here's a number to put in when it asks you for a number. And I'm like, what's this number do? And he's just like, don't ask me what the number does. And I'm like, okay, I put in the number. Then I find an article that it's like, there's like 400 people who have registered like the president of South Korea's like Korean ID number for like different games because people are just committing mass fraud on the internet trying to like, oh my God. There's like, listen, we're not going to not play S4 League and all these other Korean games. We're just going to randomly generate a number and we'll just pretend we don't know what the number is. He didn't tell me that until after I had made a bunch of accounts for all these different games. Well, you know, it's just what it made me do. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I played a lot of things. There were definitely other options, but WoW was kind of the one that overshadowed everything else.
Yeah. How about you never get into WoW? Or...
I did play WoW.
Okay. 100%. Okay. I mean, what am I asking?
A hardcore rated in Cataclysm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't, I can't find time. I couldn't play WoW at the beginning. I just couldn't find time. I was supposed to play WoW. But then because we were waiting, and then a friend knocked on the door and was like, you want to try FF11? Okay, sure. I mean, I don't care. We play a couple of months, right? Things change.
I won $300 playing WoW. My friend bet me that I couldn't level an enhancement shaman from 1 to 60 in like under 7 days played. But that was during BC, so he picked a terrible time to do it. And by the second day, I was like level 40 something. He just gave me the money. He's like, you don't have to keep playing. And I'm just like, why did you think? It was like, bro, I played Final Fantasy XI. Did you think I was not? I literally have Final Fantasy XI up on my PS2 over here while I'm doing this enhancement shaman thing. Like,
that's the thing, right, Happy? That's the thing, right, Happy? A lot of people today, right, they didn't know that we went through this. And then they always think that it's not doable. Oh, I would love to see you do this. Oh, you can't. I'm like, dude, you guys know that this is nothing, right? Oh my god, how did you get this high level? How did you play so fast? Wait, this is not even fast. You guys do know that we have a life before we stream. You know what I mean? Like, they don't get it, you know? They just don't understand. These Zoomers don't understand. Yeah. These Zoomers don't understand.
Sly's the, you know what's funny? Sly's the middle child between the three of us. In terms of the boomer references, I'm the youngest, you're the oldest, he's in the middle. So he's just, although he's acting like the oldest one here, just looking like and just thinking about it. You all right over there, Sly?
I'm good. I'm glad I didn't go through all this shit.
Yeah, he doesn't have the when Arthur's and I go into Eureka and we hear Ozma's theme play, something very different goes through our head.
Oh. Yeah. That was so good, man. B was so good. I was so jealous when I saw you all doing it, because during that time, I'm not in any.
Yeah, you and Zeno were both so sad you didn't do any Eureka. I remember both of you just being like...
No. I was doing Eureka, but that time I was... Okay, I only came into the NA scene after Final Omega, before Shadowbringer. Then I started to have an NA character. So during that time, I was playing in JP. And let me tell you, man, when I was watching you guys stream, it was on patch day, it was miserable for me. Because it's like... Eureka, sure, it's my prime time. But I knew the moment I get past 11, when all the JPs go to bed, I cannot do anything. So when I was watching you guys do BA, right, I'm like, man, I only wish I can find a group that is like, don't have like a work schedule. I mean, that sounds horrible. Now thinking about it, when I say it out loud, holy shit. I wish there's like people that, I wish, man, like BA was actually the reason why I go to NA. And I tell myself, at least that NA has a community like that, that if, whether it's in-game or on stream, I can, at least when JP goes to bed, I can play on NA. I can play with you guys. And that's exactly what happened. That's what we did for DRS. So when DRS happened and then there was like opening, I'm like, yo, I'm in. I want in. And then they took me in and then we do DRS. I'm like, that's exactly why I come to NA. So that I can play. You see, for me, when I play MMORPG, and this also goes into like in Dawn Trail, I want to play MMORPG. Now, I don't want to play MMORPG like I play 11, like, you know, I play 12 hours a day, no. But I want to be able to, if I want to play, I can play. Because right now, Final Fantasy is, if it's not prime time, there's no PM. In JP, if it's not prime time, there's no PM. EU, if there's no prime time, there's no PM. NA is a lot better because NA have PST, EST, and Central. So NA prime time spread out a lot more. So like for me, if I want to do PF stuff, if I wake up in the morning, 8 a.m., I can play all the way until 2 p.m., 6 hours, perfect stream time. And then I can, you know, take advantage of that extended NA prime time. But like in JP, I couldn't. So when I saw B, I was like, man, I want to be there. I wish I was there. Like, that is so heavy. FF11 reference is just, hey, we are getting another one, though. We are getting another one in Dawn Trail, though.
Well, I mean, we don't know if it's BA or DRS. We don't know which will really draw the comparison to. I'd assume DRS would be the more realistic comparison to expect. But, they haven't said we're getting that. They just said we're getting exploration content. You know, we don't know what we are and aren't getting yet. So we'll have to wait and see. I just want more duels, to be honest.
Mm.
Give me some duels. Those duels. Don't give me the same system for getting into the duels, but give me the duels. Oh, man. But yeah, it's kind of nice to... Despite the cynicism, I think that, as you said, Sly and I have exhibited our more realistic outlook versus your puppy dog eyes thinking, Dawn Trail. Looking like Puss
in
Boots.
It can't be worse than Endwalker. That's the only thing I ask for. It can't be worse than
Endwalker. Uh-oh, that's going to get clipped.
Dude, we say that 2 times before, right? And it happened, right? Surely not the 3rd time, right? Oh, God.
That's going to get clipped. That's going to get stuck in a folder. And if you at any point feel despair throughout Dawn Trail, you are going to have to relive this moment. Let me tell you.
Oh, no.
keep it on hand, everyone.
I brought my cup.
That's fine. It's nice that despite this oversimplification problem, despite it being kind of the crux of a lot of criticisms of Endwalker, that there is any sort of optimism in regards to Dawn Trail, it goes to show that at the very least, the amount of goodwill that's been generated over the years is significant, even if tempered at times. And as you said, I think a lot of that has to do with the dev team. And now they're going to be allowed a little bit more free rein. Take risks, is what Yoshi-P said for his dev team. So... I know that, despite my realistic take, I am excited. Don't worry. If it's good, it's good. I won't be looking for the bad like the forums always are. Forums are like, what's the only bad thing about this? And how can I make it literally the worst part of my personality? Everything. How can I make it my everything? About how...
I don't know how you use forum, though. I'm surprised.
Oh, I don't. I only go there to make videos about how ridiculous it is.
Not Twitter? Or you already gave up on Twitter?
So funny thing, I don't see any like annoying stuff on Twitter. I have a extension on my browser that takes all the X stuff and reverts it back to Twitter. So I don't have like a For You tab. So I never see that. I don't even have trending. It's like that far back. So I never have to deal with garbage ever. Man, I only get what people tweet at me, pretty much. Yeah. And Twitter's default, like because of all the, you know, link in bio stuff we get, a lot of times I get like really annoying comments. Even those just get filtered out. So no, I can't go to, I have to go out of my way, and I can't go to Reddit to find it because it's just art and nobody dislikes art. I don't even dislike the art. I just, there's no arguing. And well, I mean, I could go to some 14 subreddits, but I mean the main one. I could definitely find something there. I like how I've been in game this whole time and I totally forgot, and it's just been playing the background music in the housing area, but it's been kind of fitting. Somebody just did something. Oh, somebody's changing FC actions. That's what it is. Okay. Perfect. But yeah, is there any other part of 14 that you feel like has gone too far in the simplification direction? Because I think it's really crafting, gathering, combat.
Yep, never mind. You took it away. You took the word.
Well, I mean, we dived into it a little bit earlier about how they added all this quality of life to crafting and gathering.
Dungeons?
I mean, sort of, but I never care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it becomes so easy that we never care, right?
Well, it's not. I like the first time experience. I just judged the dungeon on the first time experience. Like,
yeah,
I'm actually holding a Twitter like vote right now on the best and worst dungeon in the game. And while I have about 500 responses to go through after this to add to my list, I can tell you right now that A Realm Reborn has a vast majority of dislikes. And it's not just AV and Zamiel or in Stone Vigil Hard. Those are the bottom three, but there are a ton of A Realm Reborn votes. It's not just because they have more dungeons, even if I split it into a 2.0 and 2.1 to 2.5, compared to all the other expansions, like Pharaoh Sirius has more negative votes than positive votes.
Oh, and really? Yeah,
exactly. That's why I brought up Pharaoh Sirius, because I have a very positive opinion of OG Pharaoh Sirius, but that is not the majority of the opinions and or the experiences that I am getting. Yeah, people are saying because of my stuff, Orimvale was trending for them. I wouldn't know. I can't see it. Yeah. Mm. But like Pharos is down there. Tamtara hard mode is down there too. Yeah.
Brayflox?
Oh, Brayflox is not in a good spot. Yeah, no, there's a lot of votes against Brayflox.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
Decent dungeon.
Yeah. Huh. Not to some.
Cloak.
Oh, Snorkloak is, way down. Let's see. Let me pull up some of the numbers here, because that goes to show, because these were the dungeons, and obviously some people are just judging it based on the old versions, but some people are judging them based on the new versions. Like Cestasha, 9 votes. Keep in mind, there's so many dungeons, it's going to sound like there's not a lot of votes, but there's 500 votes tallied across all the dungeons here. 9 for Cestasha, 6 for Tamtara, 8 for Copperbell, 6 for Halatali, 14 for Todorok, 2 for Hawk. A lot of people like Hawk, which shocked me. It's actually got quite a few positive. I thought picking up the keys.
I think they like it because it's fast.
I thought people hated picking up keys. Man, that's what I thought. Hawk hard mode has more negative votes because of the keys. Like every room, kill 3 mobs, pick up a key, open a door, kill 3 mobs. Yeah, really annoying. Brayflox, 11. Karn, 11. Cutter's Cry, 14. Stone Vigil, 14. Zamiel, 59. Orimvale, 73. Yeah. Castrum, 1. Only one person put Castrum as one of their negatives. Yeah, Hawk isn't that bad now, but I mean, even still, I thought more people were going to say it. Even Praetorium only has 3 downvotes. People don't even dislike them. Yeah. But then Pharaoh says like 14 votes. Stone Vigil hard mode, 56 votes. I thought Hullbreaker was going to have more votes. Only 10 votes for negative for Hullbreaker. But you come to the new dungeons and there's entire expansions that don't have dislikes here. Like there's the most disliked new dungeon. The two most disliked are post the Realm Reborn. The three most are Neverreap, Bardem's, and Fell Court of Troia.
Wait, which one is that?
That is the castle one, where the new one. Well, it's point two, 6.2. Mm-hmm. It's the one where the first boss is just trash, and the last boss is Skarmiglione.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Felcourt is the third most disliked post to Realm Reborn dungeon at the moment. I'm collecting some very interesting stats here.
Yeah.
You
see, these are actually, because at the end of the day, this is what, okay. Even if some of us have different opinion, but we are just one guy in the grand scheme of things, right? When you collect all this information, it will like actually shows that how the mentality shift and what people actually think is good and bad about the game, you know? So that's interesting.
Yeah. It's a lot of the new stuff has a lot of very positive votes, and a lot of the old stuff has a lot of very negative votes. It's definitely the major trend. Like Gimlet is really high on the votes. I was shocked to see Gimlet. Like I think it's an okay dungeon. Holminster has a ton of upvotes, which I thought was the worst dungeon in Shadowbringers practically.
Really?
Yeah, Mount Golg has a ton of votes for upvote. Amarad is way in the lead. Way in the fucking lead.
Oh, and yeah.
Actually,
that's sentimentalism, honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah. Dead Ends is also, like, pretty up there. Twinning is actually behind Dead Ends, which shocked me. Twinning is actually not even in, like, the top 10.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of Dead Ends.
Neither am I.
I fucking hate it.
I do actually think the bosses are better than our average dungeon boss now. Like, the first boss has wiped groups.
But the dungeon itself, it just... Maybe because I did it so much. I'm trying to get the bird. But I fucking hate it.
I think the most divisive dungeon is Bardem's. Bardem's is 10 down, 7 up at the moment. The burn has a lot of votes, a lot of burn enjoyers, a lot of Kitana Ravel enjoyers. There are like less than 25 good votes across all of A Realm Reborn across 500 people. And I have like another 500 to collect today. It's like there is no good sentiment at all. Most of it's Shadowbringers and Endwalker, which I expected. I think recency bias plus a lot of people, like there's an emotional tie there. But it's not good. It's not good. Arboretum and Fractal have no negative votes. There's some decent ones in there. Shisui has a lot of good votes. I'm not a huge fan. That's the one with the old mechanic in the last boss. Yeah.
And the last boss, the water one.
Yeah. That one's got no negative votes. It's just got a few positive votes. Yep.
Weird time.
All Amigos got quite a good number of votes too. As well. That's not a dungeon I like either. Not very much, at least.
Swallow's Compass?
Only positive votes. Swallow's Compass, quite popular. I'm looking forward to getting all of this posted because we have a lot. It's like a mini Lucky Boncho, but like just about dungeons.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of work to do after stream today to actually compile it all.
I want to do a show just on this, just on dungeon Lucky Boncho data.
Yeah.
Dungeon happy data.
Yeah. Except that I don't use achievements. I just use people telling me what they want. And that's including a lot of people haven't been able to vote. Because I'll only accept a vote if there's one answer for both categories, least and most. So some people will be like, oh, most definitely Amarad, but least any under level 50 dungeon. I don't count that person. Because what am I going to do? Add one to every, like, A Realm Reborn? Like, the vote's going to be so skewed. I can't just fill in for them. I'll be like, all right, that's a Stone Vigil vote because that's my vote. So it has to be my vote. Got to copy that. Perfect. Yep. So that's gonna be a fun one. But it is, the simpler dungeons are the more popular ones. Like this, the average data shows that. And it kind of makes sense with dungeons, which is why I don't think that's really a point they need to go back on. Because I do think that the people who generally do dungeons on the more regular have a bigger attachment to the environment, the music, like the parts of it that are more cinematic and story related than the actual act of doing a dungeon. Because that's why Amarot's in the lead. Amarot is not in there for the gameplay. I sincerely doubt it, given the second boss is very similar to the Felcord of Troia. But that's just an observation from a more hardcore player. But everyone agrees that Ormvale is the worst dungeon. Actually, Zamiel had double the score of Ormvale at one point, and then Ormvale like went on a tear. It was amazing.
Dude, Ormvale is not that bad.
It's not.
They should see 1.0 Ormvale. Oh, don't.
If I have to 100 fist with Fist of Fire as Monk in that ever again, I'll just... Y'all don't know what a 5-chest Ormvale is like from 1.0.
Yeah.
People are like, 5-chest? I'm like, exactly. Technically, it's a 6-chest. But, you know.
Yeah, it can be 6. Dude, I run that shit so much for the heavy Darklight armor. Like, you have to pop that 5th chest, right? Okay, fine. And then you have to get it to drop. I get that butt and monk body 3 times before I saw it. I think I ran 350 times. Yeah.
What were they called? Did you do for the relic items? Not garrisons. What were they called? Hamlets.
Hamlet.
How many hamlets did you do?
Okay. This is a very interesting story. You know how people always come to my channel after I started a live in FF40? Others, why don't you craft other? You know how much I craft for the hamlet? I make sure that I am top 2. I have enough items to turn in to be top 2 for each of the hamlets, so that when I go in and do my hamlet thing, it is 50% drop rate minimum for the relic item.
Let me clear that up for a few people. Hamlets in Final Fantasy XIV 1.0 were a content where you had to defend a base against a bunch of waves of beastmen that would attack it. Your rewards were determined on how much you had contributed to the hamlet through a period of time, about a week. So, if you were someone who is in the top 2, I think top 2 or top 3 contributions, top 3 for contributions, you had a 50% chance of getting the relic drop item whenever you would complete
100.
First place is 100. If you didn't, it was about a 1% drop rate. So, it wasn't great.
That's how much I craft. I compete with the JP. I craft. I was turning in, and I make sure that I always have double, because even if I overcraft and I don't need them, it's fine, because I can use the item for next hamlet contribution. So, dude, I crafted so much.
Yeah.
And, dude, I mean, you know how hard is 1.0 crafting? How hard is it to craft an 1.0 HQ item?
It was really bad. Don't forget what the punishment was for getting certain things wrong. Did you know that in 1.0, everyone, that if you failed an overmelt, the gear was destroyed?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the same odds we have now, mind you. If they weren't higher odds, they were the same odds we have now.
Getting a relic base weapon done.
Oh yeah, you needed to overmelt for it. Yeah, so you would just
overmelt. Yeah. It's about 40 million, 40 million gear. Yeah, I made every single relic. Man. Yeah, so a lot of people is like, you don't craft, you don't make money. I'm like, there's a reason why I don't need to make money anymore since 2.0. I came from 1.0 with 400 million coming into 2.0. Now they slash away a zero. So I started 1.0. I started 2.0 with 40 million and never really need to think about earning it, you know? So that's why when I play this game.
How much are you sitting at right now?
Oh, now it's like just like 100 mil per character. I did not bother to make money. Now it's just selling tome. My attention went from trying hard earning money into just raiding. Because I don't need the money anymore. You know, so people
not real.
Oh, I don't even do that. Yeah. I should actually.
I just sold them out for 13 million like last week. Yeah. And then I spoke the week before that, I sold a Corby for 8.
Just, Never need to make any more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, just never need to make money ever since. Because I don't buy Minion. I don't buy Glamour, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just, sometimes when I need money, now my chair just give it to me. I'm just like, yay. But, yeah, yay. And then you know what my wife do lately? You know what my wife do lately? My wife would actually sit down there, look at my screen, and then she's like, oh my god, why your viewers give me money? I was like, yeah, because they give me money, they are nice. You know what my wife would do in game? My wife would run over, open trade window, and say, I need to buy pink dye, give me $1 million. I'm like, what the fuck? You need $1 million to buy, you know what? Take it. And then she's like, yay. And then she would come back again. I'm like,
it's like a kid at the grocery store. Can I get the cereal?
Yo, she's actually really enjoying the game. Like, she have not played MMO since FF11. Ever since I married her, we started life together. She's just like housewife taking care of children. So now my kids are more independent. And then recently, about 3 months, 2 months ago, she started playing FF14. She's been stuck to the screen 10, 12 hours a day. And I'm like, what the fuck do you have to do in FF11? The three of us sitting here, I'm don't even have things to do. And then she's like, oh, I got a lot of things to do. I'm raiding. So she was like doing the Savage. Now she's doing Ultimate. I'm like, it's nice to see that, you know, a new player actually... for me, it's like an experiment, you know? Because I told her, right, I'm not buying you Jump Pod. I don't think you're worthy for me to spend another 50 bucks so that you can get an end game. So I'm like, you have to show me. You have to prove to me that you truly wants to be a 14 player. And she did the story. She didn't skip a cutscene. And here she is. And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. I'm happy that she's enjoying. And then now she's like also streaming a little bit. She started to make more friends. Yeah. Nice to see that she's finding a place and enjoying 14 right now. Really. Sure.
Not worthy.
I think it's going to be a big mistake, though, Happy. Going to 7.0, I think it's a big mistake.
Why is it a big mistake?
She's going to be PFing, learning Savage, progging. Oh, my food delivery is going to be late,
man.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Oh, no. Who is going to take care of the children? I'm going to start taking turns now. Now I need to start, you know, driving my kid to school.
They can walk.
Toxic ass.
They want to be independent? They can walk. That's perfect. That's what I did. I walked to school. I was like, I don't need my parents to take me, so I'm just going to walk to school.
Yeah, my wife is always like, I mean, I guess it makes sense. You know, for the past 18 years, she's just been like really taking care of the children, like professional housewife, right? Really every step of the way. And I always tell her, you need to let go at some point. They are now 11. They are now 12, 15, and 17 already. You need to start letting go. And you know how she let go? Playing Final Fantasy 14.
Okay,
now she's actually like, here's money, go and buy your own food. You know, I'm busy right now. And then morning, right, usually she would drive them to school. Now it's like, okay, your bag is packed. Here's money. Remember to buy food. Now walk to school. I'm like, wow. She's finally letting it go. And then you know what she do after she let go? She come in and play Final Fantasy. 6 a.m. in the morning. She wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning to play Final Fantasy. I'm like, what the fuck are you waking up so early for? I need to wake up because I'm on NA server. Now it's the NA prime time. Now it's the time to play the game. What have I done?
Arthurs, I have a hypothetical for you. I know we're way off topic, but I need to get... What happens in the household when she beats the ultimate before you do?
Nah, there's no way. She's a shitty player. There's no way. Nah.
Also,
Y'all realize this is video evidence, right?
There is no way in hell, right? I would number one raid with her because I know how horrible.
Oh, I didn't say raid with her. No, she beats it before you.
Yeah. And then number two, she can find a group and she can play better than me. There's no way.
Unfortunately, by saying she can never find the group, you've now opened up Pandora's box.
The Avengers are going to assemble and then they're...
Hey, just don't...
Your wife. Oh my God.
Just don't link it back to me, okay? Your artist, your wife, who is a... Hey, just don't link it back to me. I am not going to vouch for her. I am not going to recommend her. You take her at your risk, okay? Yeah. I mean, in a way, I also tell her to like PF. You need to PF. You need to learn how to read strat. I link her your strat. I link her Xeno strat. I'm like, you need to look at all these different strat, and then you need to tell yourself why people, you need to evaluate, because it's part of the learning process. 7.0, now a lot of people is helping her, because everybody is done with stuff, right? 7.0, she's going to be starting the game just like everyone. Some people might be in static, her viewers might be in static, my viewer might be in static, I myself is in static. I'm not going to be there to teach her everything. She needs to learn how to be independent, how to look out for guys, what to look out for. You know, how to learn in PM. So, like she's doing that now. And, yeah, pretty happy with her progress, yeah. Her DPS still suck, though, but, yeah. Nah, there's no way she can end ultimate before me. There's no way. You want to take her, Happy? You want to take her? You want to take her?
We're 8 out of 8, man. She won a 9th?
let's see how she handles 7.0 herself. Let's see. I think at some point she will find the static, though. I cannot wait for the static drama. If she does, I cannot wait.
You can't fucking wait. Oh, I'm sure the rest of the internet can't wait either.
Toxic apps.
Wait, what? How am I toxic?
Making the damn kids walk.
They're fucking old enough to walk. What? They're not. Oh, I'm not saying to send the 6-year-old to walk 3 miles. I fucking walked when I was in my teens.
Yeah.
They got legs.
Now thinking back, it's either our parents don't give a shit, or back
perhaps
then
turning into Vanah. Henceforth, we what shall walk.
Yeah, tell them that they're gonna come home and they're gonna be covered in blood like that one scene. Just like
we shall walk.
Yeah, it's just gonna be just like the walking home scene with Vanah. That's it. I mean, if it's too far, yeah. But I mean, then they just leave earlier.
If she backseat me, though. The other day I was doing P-Travis, she was backseating me. She saw my debuff, and then she's like, you need to go to the left side. And I'm like, what? And then when I did it wrong, she's like, I told you to go to the left side. I'm like, okay. She distracted me. It was her fault. Yeah. I could have done it right myself, but she distracted me.
It sounds like she's gearing up to beat Ultimate before.
She's trying. She's trying to do UCOP. Definitely. Okay. A lot of new things that, although she did Savage, but Ultimate still have some things that she didn't expect, like how fast the mechanic happened. She's like, I don't have time to think at all. It's fast. I'm like, yeah, the pacing is different. Savage is a little bit slower. Bam, something big. This was bam, something big. Ultimate is bam, 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 you know? So she's like, good learning. Yeah, I think if she can do UCOP, I think it would be like, you know, she knows what to expect. Future gameplay, you know? Yeah. But you really need to get that. And I think that's a problem with the game. That she needs to get there and then she starts to understand. Pre-Savage, right? When she was still doing dungeon, when she was still doing EX trial, I would tell her things to do like just get out just enough for AoE because you don't know whether it will be a back-to-back mechanic. Like, you know, Dynamo Chariot. So you cannot dodge too far out, right? Because you need to get in, right? And then she's like, but why? You know, I can run so far away. I got time. I'm like, it's not that you got time now. It's that when you do Savage, you will realize that you need to micro movement. And then she just never get it. She just never understood why. And then suddenly when she do Savage, then she understand. Caloric 1. She started. Caloric 2. She finally understand why I always. It took me 1 month. It took her 1 month to finally understand the very first day I teach her about dodging mechanic. Don't overcommit. And then when she do calorie too, she's like, oh, because if I run too far, I die. I say, yes, a mechanic don't let you run too far. So you need to run just enough. It takes her a new player, right? To get to Savage, then understand this concept of the game, you know? Before that, she doesn't understand anything. So it's like, Final Fantasy 14 needs that mid-core content or that path from the normal dungeon to Savage so that new players can transit easier. Because my wife definitely put in a lot of work. And obviously play the game too much to finally get it, you know. So hopefully 7.0 somehow there is like nice breeze taking in between that make more content for people to, you know, step in board properly, I hope.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I feel like especially to somehow get the show back on topic. if you really want to take Final Fantasy XIV and strip away some of the elements that have made it too simple, which is ironic. I guess add in more elements would be more accurate. You do need better teaching. Now, some people want it to go like to the extreme where they're like, oh, just let people put in their own rotations and like a board, and then you can just practice it. But let's be honest, they'll never do that. It's probably not a good mm-hmm. idea to begin with for either them to post it or for them to allow other players to post it, because I've seen a ninja guide where they did 7 OGCDs in a row and a lot of people were thanking them for it. And I remember a ninja who was like literally a top player criticizing it and being told that they were toxic. So like, there's no winning that category. That's for fucking certain. And, God, Fold has a video of him doing it. I gotta see if I can, like, he did the exact rotation and then he like tabs out and then it's like a Naruto background on his like PC or something like that. It's like a 2.4, like 3.0 ninja guide or something like that. Long time ago. And, they need something. Something needs to get taught earlier. And not just they rework the dungeons to have tank busters and like stuff. Like I did ARF today and the avatar mechanic, you know, where he has the ballistic missiles where it's like just a stack. It has an enumeration marker over the head now, among other things. And enumeration means exact number or not, which it'll teach you if four people try to go stand in the two. But they need something that like legitimately acts as an in-game encyclopedia for a lot of stuff as you pick it up or as you learn it or as you see it for the first time. So players can actually do it. Although then again, if there's any lesson I've learned over the last 10 years, people don't read. So maybe there's no hope.
One way to make everybody learn again and put it in the even ground is really introduce brand new mechanics. But how many brand new mechanics can you introduce in a 10-minute fight? Shroud 8-minute fight. Mm. You can't, right? So there's always going to be some disadvantage to new players, you know?
Yeah. It's why I want Criterion to be kind of the less, the lower wall entry into raiding, because people will feel more comfortable going into something that's 4-man than 8-man. And then that gets you kind of in the door. Like, I want Criterion to be as hard as Savage, and I think you can accomplish mm-hmm. that without it being, and still use it as a stepping stone. I mean, yeah, same difficulty, but with less people, it still is a stepping stone in its own way. A better mm-hmm. stepping stone into that teaching bit. But even that, you need something even below extremes that kind of gets you up to the extreme yeah. level that's mm-hmm. missing. And it's I don't easy. Know yeah. where to do that. I mean, maybe at least not having 24 mans that have completely irrelevant mechanics like on patch would probably at least help somewhat. But I don't know. I don't know where they would plan to put that in. But I also know that no matter what they do, people don't read. Bro, somebody tried using a macro back an Emerald weapon for me. A macro and NA. Do you know what happened? The tank called the H1 spot because he thought they were just positions that we were going to call out. And then we told him, no, that's a healer spot. And he said, oh, okay. H2 then.
That tank finished the macro though. You know what I saw the first time when people put macro? He said, I can't read it. It's so misaligned. And then we are like, dude, just open the chat box bigger. And then he's like, oh. I'm like, what the? Because his chat box is so small. He said it's too small. Everything is compressed. Oh, then drag it out. Open it. Then you can see the whole macro. He's like, oh. NAs are different, man. NAs are really different. Yeah.
It's really bad.
You see why I don't fucking PF?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, again. Which was the fight that made you have this PTSD? I remember I was on this show with you and you talk about it. Shiva, right? Yeah. You were Shiva, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the day you decided that you would not want to do PF again, I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is mm-hmm. NA even playing on OCE? Like, when everyone else goes to post macros, what do they do?
They are learning. They are actually. No. When I say they, I mean the five people I came across in these 4 days. No one does. And sometimes, occasionally, you get that one guy. You know, when the Oceanic players go in, we all already know D1, D2, D3, D3, D4. This NA will put the ground marker, and then he's the only one standing on it. And then the Oceanic people is pissed off. They will quickly override it. So when the enemy put the waymark progression, override it. Put it down, override it. And then it's like, yeah, yeah. You can sense the passive aggressiveness here. But there are some enemies that are waiting to learn though. There are some enemies waiting to learn. But again, the sum is not enough to... So far, I just don't see it happen. That people would actually like really, really do something in Oceanic. But again, right now, no one is playing the game, so... I'm surprised they are testing these things so long. I really thought they are testing it for 1 week. And I think they are testing this all the way until Dawn True release, right? So it's like,
which means that if there's no problems, they'll just leave it on, essentially.
Yeah.
So, probably better to do it. I mean, it's better to do it when more people are playing, but they know the month leading in, all the people want to like come back, didn't do MSQ. Like they'll all go in and then I hope they, as much as it's not fair to OCE players, I hope they ask to do a stress test of it where everybody tries to go to OCE like we did with Cloud to see if we can break it. They'll be like, oh, OCE primetime? Why don't we hold a stress test? And they'll be like, no, I'm trying to raid.
No, no one is raiding, man. No one is raiding.
They might when it's that close.
I hope so. As an Oceanic, I mean, I'm a Southeast Asian, I'm not Oceanic. Like, playing multiple data center and living in Singapore, I'm only like, with VPN, I'm only 90 MS to Australia. The Australia server is awesome because now I can bring all my character to a centralized place and everybody can just come and... As a streamer, it's awesome. Think about it. We can get so way more engagement from viewers to do things together, number one. Number two, all our characters can literally just join one static. Hey, you know, NA group, can you guys go to Oceanic? Clear for me? You know, I mean, we are in the same static, right? Oh, you have a JP character too? You don't want a PF this week? Week one, you just want to get a page, you'll get a static over the Oceanic, and then you can do it. Like Zeno was saying, right? Zeno was saying that a lot of us cannot leave our server because we have a house. So it's like, for me, if I want to proc Ultimate in JP, I need Sasuke. I need my JP character. I cannot get my Arthur's main character in Sagittarius. But now,
I always have to step back a second when you say you need Sasuke. I'm just like, yeah. Wait.
I think it's a good feature. I think it's a good feature. I hope it works. I really do hope it works.
It's just funny that it's all to OCE. That they're just like, there's no one here, so.
I mean, the lucky Banjo, did you see the stats, Happy?
That was like five months ago. I was actually looking at it again recently, yeah.
Every NA servers, we got so many servers in NA, right? Average 15,000. An Oceanic server, 5 server, average 2.5. I'm not gonna lie, that's higher than I thought it was gonna be. Really? Oh god.
When I looked at the data, I was like, oh wow, they've got way more players than I thought.
Very little. Yes, there are 5 server combined population. It's not even Bauman. Yeah. That is just how small their community is.
Well, time for us to ruin that. Now they're like, get these people out of here, please. I want us to go back to being dead. All right. Anyway, show's been going on for about 2.5 hours. I think we've nailed home most everything. I know we didn't get into much crafting and gathering, but what much is there to say about recipes just need to be harder. Like macros basically solving 99% of crafting is the oversimplification and
that's still going to be a thing, even with harder recipes. It's just the trial and error.
Yeah,
the trial and error of getting to that. Like that was always a thing. Like you were always going to have a macro. It took more trial and error. And I kind of wanted to go back to that.
Okay. Actually, there's something they might do. Do you agree now that 100% HQ? I mean, let's be honest, now it's just 100%. If you don't 100%, it's because you fucked up. It's not because it was not achievable, right? Do you think that 100% HQ is a problem? I think that if they somehow don't make it 100%, let's just say you craft 10 times. Okay, let's just say they make it 80% max. And you have somehow some rollover bullshit item that you just don't use because it's NQ. Nobody uses it. Do you think that it actually will make crafting interesting? You're going to lose money, though.
The only thing it does is add a risk reward to deciding to do a recipe. I don't think it, no matter what, you're still just going to macro to the 80%. You just might, despite being perfect, you just might not get the perfect thing. So it doesn't actually make it any more interesting. It just makes it so that, oh, well, I lost money on this craft. Yeah. And I know why you're thinking not 100%, because in 11, yeah, you might lose money if you
in HQ. Man, a lot of games crafting. Final Fantasy crafting is just, for me, the only MMO I ever played that crafting is guaranteed. It's just a very weird concept.
Well, that's because you actually need to do something. Yeah, in every other game, they just say, you know, press the button and see what the result is. Yeah, yeah, and then, so they don't really care. Mm-hmm. It's like low investment, low output, whatever. In 14, they give you the option of it being a skill, you know, of actually being able to be good at it, which, of course, comes with that.
But 1.0, 2.0, I can agree that, I mean, shoot, the 2.0 crafter relic was hard to get.
Yeah.
Because you need to HQ that thing. But now we reach the point that it's guaranteed already. So don't you think something maybe needs to, you know, take away some guarantees and make you put in some effort or risk, you know? Like you say, there's nothing much to talk about crafting, so I'm just like squeezing out, you know?
I think the only thing you can really do, and I think Sly might feel this as well, whether or not he cares for it or likes it, is you'd have to make it almost master-esque at a lower tier recipe so that you have to respond to what's happening and not the same thing or almost the same thing will happen. It's the only thing you can do to achieve this is to make it reactive. So it's like, oh, you know, there's like fires, like you got fires boon on this craft. Well, if I get fires, and I'm just making up names at this point just to, for the sake. It's like, oh, I got fires boon. Well, now this skill technically does this, but it comes with this risk or reward. If I get thunder's boon, make that would be great next. Yeah.
Make the excellence matter. Make the, make the, like the good, the excellent, the bads, make those matter more. And then like Hap says, throw in more side stuff, I guess you could say. Kind of like, well, tricks was a part. Tricks of the trade was definitely a part back in the
day.
Definitely pop tricks if you had it. Things like that. Yeah.
And I'll say this too, if you really have a concern about pots or food in terms of that, then they could just make it so after you've done it enough times, then you can go to like quick synthing it or something like that. Like once you've managed to prove that you're good enough to make the thing enough times, then you can go ahead and do it. At the very least, add some like, because then there's also filling out the crafting log. Like for people who like, you know, achievement collecting, if you have to craft, like let's say you have to craft pots like 50 times doing it the however way I just described it, and then after that it's quick synthable, and then you fill out your whole log, whatnot, throughout all of those, so you can quick synth everything and you can get that all said and done. There's ways to do it, but there's never going to be a way that doesn't upset some people, which is the whole point of the simplification thing. There's no stress to any of it. No matter what, if you want stress to be added to anything, if you want complications, if you want any sort of complexity, you have to be uncomfortable at some point.
Someone has to be unhappy. Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what, if anyone wants it, and that's true of everything we've said today. If you want job design to go back to being unique, you have to accept that the job you love could feel like shit at times. It's the bottom line. You're not going to feel good all the time. You know?
Give and take. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a give and take for actually having something stress related. So if everyone really wants an unsimplified 14, if people want them to pull back the curtain, just know you got to get fucked at some point, and it's not going to be the good kind.
Can we agree that it would never be back to heaven's worth?
No.
Never. And it shouldn't. No. It shouldn't. Jesus Christ, no. Right? I don't think we would go that far back, you know? But yeah, hopefully.
You just can't. The whole point of stress is that you're uncomfortable, but overcoming that discomfort and getting better at it is part of the reward structure in terms of, you know, feeling better about what you've achieved.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that most people don't want that, as per my dungeon thing. They just want to run in the line. So, I'm just saying. There's, and I'm not saying what we're saying is the solution either. I don't think anyone here thinks our solutions are the guaranteed solutions or the should be solutions or they're ideas. But if you like the idea of things getting more stressful, then you can't think of ways to, like, I thought of some bard changes today and I'm like, do those let's just make it even easier. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, songs shouldn't have a cooldown. And instead of, and then after you have them up for 30 seconds, you get a buff for the next song. That way, anytime you die, you can just get up and go into whatever song you're supposed to be in at that time and pick up where you left off. And I was like, okay, but that's literally how we got to where we are. Fuck. That's the opposite of what they're trying to achieve. So where am I going with? Where am I? I'm like, this is the problem. We want to solve a problem and it makes another problem. And shit, this is why it's, I don't get paid to do it.
Yeah. It's not easy for them. It's not. We'll see.
Good job, Design Haps. Really appreciate it.
But you're probably only going down to one dot bard. Sorry. they're just going to get rid of both Stormbite and Caustic Bite, and Iron Jaws is just going to be the name of the dot. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. That's what's going to happen. I'm guessing that now, so we'll find out when we find out. Bards are like, not another one! Not, don't go the other way! We want the dots to be more important, not less important! Hey, Machinist, I'm confident your hypercharge will get changed. No way they do another expansion of hypercharge having ping problems, right? No way, right?
Is this still a thing? Is the ping problem still a thing?
Yeah.
Oh god, I want to play controller machine soon.
Jeez. I mean, you can just do the low, do the high ping rotation. There is a high ping rotation.
Does it make me do shittier damage?
Yes.
Do you think it makes you do shittier damage?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a way to overcome, right?
Think about it this way. If you play even Machinist even somewhat correct, you're probably still better than most of the people you'll play with in the PF.
Okay.
Yeah. That includes high ping.
It'll still be shit.
No, it won't be shit. It just won't be as good. You'll still be better than most everyone else.
Optimal. Yeah.
Yeah. Just won't be optimal. That's all. That's fine. But it's really not. So, just surely they'll change it. I want to believe, but I don't. I like your camera zooming in on your thumbs there. It focused on your thumbs. You just went completely out of focus. There we go. Yeah, I got mine to do it too, sort of. There we go. All right, anyway. Show's coming up on 3 hours, so I say that we wrap it up since we've beaten all the points home and gone on a million tangents while we're at it. Your wife's about to walk in the room and want to start playing anyway. It's about that time. It's almost 6 a.m.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, boy.
I'm even locked out. Yeah.
There you go.
The game is still locked in. Yeah.
She doesn't even log out at night. Doesn't turn the PC off, doesn't log out. Mm-hmm. That's a real gamer right there. And then complain about how your PC is dying too quickly. Got to go full circle with it. That's it. Anyway, thank you, Arthurs, for joining us for this fun little conversation, a return to State of the Realm here. It's good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you.
I thank you for being up at 5 in the morning, but apparently that is a normal thing for you. So I don't have to thank you for that.
I want to get breakfast. Yeah, I want to get breakfast already.
There you go. Perfect. So why don't you tell everyone what you're working on, where they can find you at, what you got going on in the next 3 months to tide you over, all that good stuff.
Just chilling, doing, like right now I have no schedule. Right now I'm just like, YOLO. I feel like playing this, I play this. Basically I'm just doing anything, for now. So like, now until Dawn Trail, you know, you can find me obviously on, twitch.tv/others. I stream 14 mainly, but every now and then, I mean, I still need to finish Elden Ring. So there will be some variety, coming up, you know, held up, basically anything, yeah. Just to get by this 3 months. 3 months later, I think all of us will be in a more happy place. You know, have more things to do in this game. All of us can finally get together and, you know, do what we like the most. I mean, I assume that you guys watching this stream under this category, you guys all just waiting for Dawn Trail, right? So, yeah, hopefully to see all of us come back together. Yeah, right now, everybody's all over the place. Happy, Sly, not really streaming anything 14 related much, but I'm pretty sure we'll go all come back together. So yeah, everybody hang in tight. We will survive. Yeah.
Unlike New World, anyway.
Wow. Deep cut.
Listen, they're like under 10,000 players like a day. It's not great.
Yeah, right now. We've all servers combined. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great right now. Anyway, thank you again, Arthurs. I'm sure you and I will be talking again Sunday anyway, so won't be.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'll mention that at the end. Sly.
Hi.
How are you doing? What are you doing? How have you been doing, given how long the show has been? All that good stuff.
I've been great. Don't want to be back in New Orleans.
Nolens.
I wish. But you can find me at twitch.tv/Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox. You can find me on Twitter at Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox. Right now I'm doing Dragon's Dogma. I kind of want to do Stellar Blade, but I'm kind of waiting. I need to do the demo just to see how it is. Of course, SMT5 Vengeance. I probably won't even have time for Shadows of the Earth Tree. That's a choice I have to make. And then Dawn Trail.
You didn't even name a dozen games in there, too. So there's a lot of other stuff happening between now and then.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of other stuff happening. But, like, yeah, like, once 5 Vengeance comes out, like, I'm all in. I'm all in there. And then, of course, Velvet Room Conversations next episode will be next Friday with An Eternal Enigma, my good friend. So there's that.
That's you want to tell people more about that since you just said the name and there's been no State of the Realm since you started doing those conversations?
Oh yeah. I've started a podcast. It's called Velvet Room Conversations. It's just, you know, friends of mine who I've known throughout my content creator journey. And, you know, it's just the conversation. It's just them telling their stories. And I want to introduce a lot of people I've known to the community as a whole, so that's what it is. So next Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can do the thumbs up. There you go. That's the casual sign off is the thumbs up.
There you go. All right. And Haps.
You can find me everywhere, Mr. Happy, 1227, the year I was born, obviously. You know, I'm almost 800 years old, you know, so that's yeah. What I got going on. I have an incredibly packed schedule. As I said, right now I'm working on my dungeon vote over on Twitter. I have hundreds of votes to go through after stream today, so got to mark them all down. And then we've got videos on that. We've got videos on reward structure. My second channel, I've probably got a couple of things cooking up, probably something on Stellar Blade, which I played the demo for today. And in case you're wondering, TLDR, it's more like Sekiro and Wulong, and Wolong than it is like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta. So if you're into the high parry style gameplay and looking at ass all day, then you're probably going to have a good time. There's a, and I even played it in the skin suit, which is actually nerfs you. You have no shields when you're in the skin suit. So, that's a hard mode game.
Price to pay.
Yeah. It's a price to play. It's hard mode in two different ways. Depends on, yeah. And, it could be in three ways, depending on if you plan on playing one handed or not. But regardless.
I was about to say that. Oh my God, you beat me to that.
Yeah, you're going to be beating something if you're playing on that difficulty. But anyway. And then we've got, April's full Final Fantasy 16 DLC, Stellar Blade's actual release, Iodine Chronicles. If you're fans of Suikoden, Iodine is the spiritual successor that passed its Kickstarter quite some years ago. Oh, that's going to be releasing then. A new Saga game. I think it's Emerald something is coming out. I forgot. I'm not really big on Saga, but I'll probably check that out. I don't remember much of what's happening in May, but we are expecting to get combat stuff in May. Historically, when they've done summer releases, May has been when we learn about all of the combat related stuff. So I don't remember any releases off the top of my head, but that's definitely something to look forward to. Also, April 12th is the 14-hour broadcast. They confirm there will be a live letter there, although it looks like it's going to be similar to PAX where it's like 50% fluff piece, 50%, you know, a few new things, but benchmark is a possibility. So keep that in mind. And then of course, June, Shadow of the Erdtree. He's got SMT5, but I probably won't have time for that. And of course, Dawn Trail at the end of the month. So On top of all the gaming news we'll probably get around early June, which we always expect. It may not be around anymore, but we still have E3 season in Seoul, even if it's Summer Game Fest now. You will not be wanting for stuff in the next several months, unless you just don't want to play anything. Not to mention you have the 16 collab, but you can go back and play Unicorn Overlord, replay Elden Ring, 4 comes, whatever the hell you got going on. So, whew. Busy. Busy, busy, busy. Anyway, with that, we're going to go on into a very short post show, so Arthur's going to go get his breakfast, and we can continue on with our days and evenings. Thank you again for joining us, Arthur's. Appreciate it big time.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, with Dawn Trail coming on, we'll need your perspective for more things in the future.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be good. Yeah. So.
Nice to be invited, man. Always an honor. Thank you so much again.
Yeah, oh, it's always good to have. Very, very entertaining. The crowd loves you, and you know it.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Somebody reads YouTube more than Twitch. Wait, do they do? It's like, wait, goes really? To YouTube? Goes to YouTube? Huh? Are you sure about that? Not on my YouTube videos. Maybe on yours. YouTube's mostly okay. Now he's going to go look at the last State of the Realm and be like, who's this Arthur's guy? Who is this guy? All right. Anyway, we're going to go on to a short post show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thanks again to EverCrisis for sponsoring the show. I'll get this posted as soon as I edit that ad in. So if you missed it, go enjoy it on the YouTube and go enjoy their streams and everything when they stream Sly tonight. And Arthur's, I don't know if you're done for the day streaming or if you're going to go back live again, but.
Nah.
No?
Later today. After breakfast.
Okay. Yeah. So go entertain yourselves. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See you soon.